Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ladies and gentlemen, the show is about to start in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
He'll be fine on the mountain.
Time for Inside the Gamecock, the show built by the Barnuminium Company, served by Chicken Cock Whiskey, and part of the Chief Sports Network.
Touchdown, Carolina! Touchdown, Ace Sanders! Pressure, Penny just dives in.
Sherbert, Phil Mullinax, and Jamie Bradford.
All right, greetings and good morning. Welcome aboard and welcome home inside the Gamecocks, the show live from the Signorama Studios, the preferred sign partners of your South Carolina Gamecocks. If you made it to Founders Park this weekend, you saw why. Signorama does all the work around one of the best ballparks in the country and Williams-Brice Stadium, Colonial Life Arena, and much, much more. Signorama.com. Let Matt and his team, they've been doing this for years with the Gamecocks. Let them do what they do best for you. Built by the Barn Dominium Company. The Barn Do Co. is what they're called. TheBarnDominiumCo.com, where you can build your dream home for as low as $160 per square foot right here in the Carolinas. Or if you live in Georgia, or if you've got a place in Tennessee and you want to build, there you go. Chicken Cock serves us as well. Chicken Cock Bourbon. It is just fantastic. Had a glass last night, Phil, once I got the kids to bed, is a matter of fact. That is Mad Dog and myself, JB, here until 2 o'clock. JC will be along shortly, wrapping up JC and Morgan. But we'll lead off with our friend Hale McGranahan with TheBigSpur.com joining us. Carolina is well underway in spring practice. Shane Beamer will meet with the media a little bit later on today. But always glad to have Hale, who will give us all the goods, as he always does. What's up, brother?
What's going on, fellas? Appreciate y'all having me on. It, as I was listening to the intro with all the highlights and clips from great Gamecocks over the years, it occurred to me I needed to look up about halfway through and make sure there weren't any Michi Johnson clips included on that reel. But judging by the comments, nobody's pointed that out yet. So I guess y'all don't have to edit that again anytime soon.
I think you said this one time, Hale, probably sometime last year when the or maybe a few months ago. I don't know. They all run together now, these portal seasons. But nothing surprises us anymore, man. It just doesn't. I don't get too worked up over it. You know, you see it, and it happens everywhere, in every program, in every sport, all across the country. And as of now, as of today, there's nothing we can do to stop it.
Yeah. Oh, so Clint Morrison pointed out, I guess it was that half-court shot. Did he hit a buzzer? Half-court buzzer? Okay. All right, so I guess you guys have some work to do here before too long related to that. But to your point, JB, it's one of those things that, unfortunately, folks just probably shouldn't get too attached to a particular player and run the risk of having their heart broken or being really disappointed. Or, you know, somebody on the board pointed out last night that he didn't like that he was going to have to tell his kids that Michi was leaving because Michi was their favorite player. So things like that are, again, an unfortunate reality in college athletics these days.
It is. It just is what it is. That's exactly right. We've talked about that around here a lot. Really more pertaining to Gamecock football, which you and I and Phil are going to get into here in just a minute. But when you were growing up, no matter who you pull for, South Carolina, Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, it doesn't matter. You grew up and you fell in love with these kids because they were there for at least 3 years, 3 or 4 years. You felt like you got to know them and you felt like you had some sort of connection. And it feels like a lot of them now kind of use the system to their advantage. A lot of them do. There's not a lot of Luke Doty's out there who had some really, really unique comments yesterday about why he's still at South Carolina after everything he's been through. But you're right. I agree with you. I was talking to John Strickland on the phone this morning. He said the same thing. He's like, you just can't fall in love with the team, can't fall in love with the player anymore. It just is what it is. So, you know, that's that. Whose favorite player was Juice? Everybody loved Juice, right?
Right.
There ain't a lot of Juice love around here these days with what he did. But it is what it is. So, we'll broad stroke this thing, and based on your answers, we'll fine tune it from there. But what thus far has stuck out with South Carolina spring practice?
I can't say a whole lot, really. I mean, just looking back at yesterday and what we got to do, we the media, we spoke to some offensive players, which I'm sure a lot of folks have heard and read stories about by now. But to me, I thought it was just kind of interesting to hear from Lenores and what he had to say. And for me, I thought that he seemed a little more polished and in the interview had a little more to say than he did when he was a high school guy and probably just a little more shy. I think he's matured a little bit and all that good stuff. And so I thought it was cool just to hear from him and see how he would do in that type of setting. It's pretty informative interview. Just hearing some of the things he had to say, he was very thoughtful with some of his answers. And I would encourage everyone, if they haven't already, to go to the YouTube, the Gamecock football or Gamecock Athletics YouTube channel and watch that interview. He spoke for about 6 or 7 minutes, I guess, and had some pretty interesting stuff to say.
Yeah, that kind of correlates. What you just said kind of correlates with what Coach Beamer said about him when they opened spring practice. That he was getting used to now kind of being the quarterback at South Carolina. You can play quarterback at South Carolina, or you can be the quarterback at South Carolina. There's two different things that applies at every program. The question everybody really has is how has he been performing? And we're not allowed to see all that stuff out there. But the competition itself, all the quarterbacks that are in that room, have you learned anything about how that's going?
I haven't really heard a whole lot, to be honest with you. I mean, I've heard some good things about Lenores, you know, nothing specific really, but that he's progressed pretty well and looks to be on a good track. I would think that it's his job to lose, right? I mean, he has been talked about a lot around here for the last year and folks getting excited about what this thing could look like with him running the show. And I don't get the sense that anything's happened in these first four practices. They're practicing right now as we speak or getting ready to finish up. I don't think there's been anything that he's done that has been a cause for concern or anything like that. And one thing folks should probably keep in mind that Saturday's practice, practice number three, was the first one in full pads, and today's number two. So they're starting to play actual football out there on those practice fields and not just running around in shorts and t-shirts and helmets and pretending like they're playing football. They're doing the real thing. So we'll get a better sense of how things are looking with quarterback and all the other positions as these next couple weeks move forward and there's some, again, actual football to evaluate, not just, you know, running around and 7-on-7 touch football.
Are there other open media availabilities moving through the spring schedule, Hale, for y'all to actually see?
Yeah, there's one. I believe it's Thursday. This coming up Thursday, we have our that's the next one. And I think there's one more after that, after or before the spring game, when we'll get to see him one more time. And just to reiterate, we're not in their hole for a long stretch of time. When we get to go to those practices, it's, you know, 20, 30 minutes, and they're really not doing a whole lot as far as showing us stuff. That's why last week I kept saying that we didn't see much, is because, you know, we're just watching drills and stretching and really not any 11-on-11. Maybe that'll change this Thursday. That would be cool. But yeah, that's what the schedule is. One more time this week and another after that before the spring game.
Well, as we've learned around here, if you don't play well up front, it's hard to play well overall on the offensive side of the football. About an hour and a half ago or so, you put out a little article on the Big Spur. I guess you spoke to a few recruits have been able to take in spring practice and ask them what they saw. And the thing that stood out to me was a couple of, I think one's a 25 guy, Hale, maybe one was a 26 guy, both offensive linemen. Clearly they were watching the offensive line, but of all the players that are out there, both of those gentlemen that you spoke with mentioned that Josiah Thompson is the player that really stood out for them. Have you learned any more? Did you dig into that any more as far as what they maybe saw out of him and correlate that with maybe what you've been hearing from this young guy?
No, I didn't, JB, to be honest with you, but I take some of that with a grain of salt, because a lot of times there can be guys who are just paying attention to the guys they know, and a lot of times that can be guys who were recruits previously, or just, you know, just within the last couple months or so, or the previous cycle, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So and then especially when they're highly rated guys like Josiah Thompson was, I think that can help a little bit with some name recognition and all that. But with some of the things that were said, I think is pretty clear. Josiah had a good day on Saturday, and not surprising to us around here, right? We're pretty familiar with his game and how good of a prospect he is. And it's reassuring to hear that. You know, I had some mentions, Debo Williams and Demetrius Knight, and those guys obviously are not recent recruits, but, frontline type players, starters potentially who are going to be making a difference for this team, one would think. And so it's reassuring to hear names like that as well. But yeah, it's definitely good to hear about a Josiah Thompson, a freshman who's coming in and doing good things and kind of backing up some of the other stuff we've heard along the way.
Hale McGranahan with the Big Spur, thebigspur.com. It's 11:15 here on Inside the Gamecocks, the show. JC will be along in just a little bit. So last night, the VIP room came out. We'll get to some of the recruiting stuff with you in just a little bit, but JC pointed out in there that he'd heard some good things. And I think from a numbers standpoint, I don't mean this offensively to my man Schubert, but I don't think it takes genius reporting to figure out that the depth is much larger at the defensive end positions and the defensive tackle positions than it's been around here in a while, by way of the transfer portal and, of course, by way of some excellent recruiting. Dylan Stewart, of course, the name that will continue to pop up there. But, hey, I think that Lenora Sellers is the quarterback, so he's going to get the headlines. You know, the running backs, and we'll get to them in a minute, they're going to get the headlines. Those are superstar positions in the game of football. Everybody's going to talk about that, but you never really get around to talking about the lines of scrimmage until they don't perform very well. And then everybody talks about it, right? You've been covering football for years. You know how it works. And I think that's one of the most intriguing things that I'm interested to see and hear about this spring is this group of defensive linemen and this group of offensive linemen who are trying to bounce back. They've added some talent and letting those guys bang up against each other as the spring goes along. But that group of D linemen, I feel like there should be reason for optimism that they should perform at a fairly high level. Have you learned anything about that? I know that it's very early, but compared to springs of past with the number amount of depth that they have now, what have you learned about that group?
It's definitely better, especially a defensive end, than it was a year ago. And I don't think that's breaking news by any means. And, you know, you talked about people not really putting a lot of stock early on in the, you know, the calendar and the year with the lines of scrimmage. But to me, like when I was looking at last season, going into last season, I had some pretty significant concerns about defensive end and what that could mean for that defense and that team as a whole. And I think we kind of saw it play out that way. And as I try to figure out what this team is going to look like in 24 and make my guesses that way, I feel a whole hell of a lot better about where they are at defensive end, which is a very important position. I mean, it's one of the premium spots when you're talking about the NFL draft. So it's huge that you're able to get Gilbert Edmond back because he was a starter on that 2022 team that was pretty good. So just that alone is going to make them better. Then you add Kyle Kennard, who they're very excited about and has been as advertised here early on since he's gotten to Carolina in January. And you mentioned Dylan Stewart, who's a stud freshman. I think it's going to be better defensively this year. I really do believe that. And I think that edge position is going to have a big say in that happening. And adding a guy like DeAndre Jules inside at defensive tackle, who, again, has been as advertised since he's gotten here, whether he's a starter or rotating in and out with Boogie and TJ Sanders and Tonka, it's a nice four to start with. And apparently Monkel Goodwine has been solid so far, and Nick Barrett's still around, and that's another good rotation piece to have. So when you're counting up names like that along the defensive line, that's a good thing. And I don't know that it's going to be some superstar unit like we saw 10 years ago or however long it's been since it was Clowney and Ingram, but they're going to be a lot better than what they were last year. And I think before it's all said and done, we'll end up being pretty good as a group.
Yeah, it really is intriguing. You would like to think that that group will help the offensive line kind of come along. Kyle Kennard's name keeps coming up. You just mentioned him, and he probably should. He was a really good football player at Georgia Tech. But I guess I've got a couple sources too, Hale, who've been out there and kind of see it. And his motor, that word comes up with him. But there's some interesting pieces because some of these guys seem like pass rushers, and then some of them are maybe more run stoppers. They feel like they're six or seven deep, I guess. And so I'm sure you're going to see a heavy rotation of it early in the year if they all stay healthy and continue to play well. But Kyle Kennard is that you, and, I mean, you just pointed out, Gilbert Edmond, how much he really didn't play that much at Florida State. Well, was he third on the depth chart or was he second? Do you know? Do you remember?
I think he played a decent amount. I mean, typically teams will rotate four to five guys at defensive end and defensive tackle. And I don't know what number he was. I would guess 3-4, maybe. Yeah. Maybe times five, probably just depending on the week. But, and he played a decent amount. It's not like he didn't see the field at all, but you know, he was a rotation guy for them, but they were also damn good on defense and had some really good guys at defensive end ahead of them.
So one of the things, when Torricelli Simpkins, transferred to South Carolina from North Carolina Central, we had John Strickland, and we were talking to Strick, and he's pretty good friends with Cedric Williams, who is the offensive line coach at North Carolina Central, of course, played for the Gamecocks. And I mean, I've known John a long time. John's a great dude, and he's not going to come out and say things, you know, works, Hale. These guys all know each other. They all talk, you know, they see things and say things, and they're not going to say things that they feel like would be detrimental in any way or untrue. And I had talked to him off the air, and then he said it. I was kind of surprised. He came out on the air and was like, look, man, I talked to Cedric Williams. And Cedric Williams told me before this guy transferred to South Carolina, this dude's a player, and he was hoping that the Gamecocks would be interested in him. And so I find that pretty interesting. Cedric Williams is a pretty good football player. I think he knows what it looks like. He's a pretty good coach as well. John Strickland knows what a good offensive line looks like. Their offensive line in 2004 was one of the best in the history of the program. They gave up like six sacks all year. It was crazy. And now we're starting to hear his name kind of pop out a little bit. He's a one-year guy. So you're going to get him for 12, 13 games, and that's going to be that. But what are you learning about that young man?
I haven't heard a whole lot specifically about him, but I would imagine he's going to be somewhere along that interior. I saw someone in the chat asking if he was competing at center or whatever, but whether he's playing center or guard, I think he's going to have a spot in there somewhere probably. I mean, he was, like all the reasons you just laid out there, JB, a good player. You can just look at his bio on Gamecocks Online and read some of the things that he achieved while he was at North Carolina Central. And I think it's safe to say he'll be playing at somewhere. Vershawn Lee said yesterday that he's been primarily working at center. So I don't know if he's definitely going to be that guy or if Simpkins or somebody else is going to come in and challenge for that spot. But I think it's a good problem to have is, yeah, what they've got are a bunch of veteran guys in the very middle of that offensive line, or at least competing to play there, whether it's Simpkins or Vershawn Lee or Kamar Bell from Florida Atlantic, who's transferred in as well. I think it's a better group up front, just like defense is better on the offensive side of the ball as well. And they've got some very experienced players who are trying to shore that thing up right there where it starts.
They've got like eight offensive line coaches on this team, Hale. I mean, you'd like to think that group collectively probably has a way to get these guys a little bit better than they've been around here. How about Sean? He's, I guess my understanding is, you know, they didn't put him in a box. He's not just over there just coaching tight ends. He's too valuable for that. What's he been doing out there?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's got the run game coordinator title, and I don't think it's just a title. I think he's got a lot of say in how that thing's going to look, whether it's on the field on Saturdays or from a personnel standpoint when they're trying to build up the roster and all that. So I think he's very involved with that stuff and clearly has a strong voice, literally and figuratively in that room.
The question in the chat box about losing Markel Blackwell to Ohio State. Guys, if you haven't, please go read the VIP room update. JC point blank in there said what he was told when he poked around about this situation. And I've got a feeling based on how he was told what he was told, I think I might know who said that to him. JC kind of outed himself. So go read the VIP room. It's up now, thebigspur.com. On the recruiting side of things, Hale, how does this work in the spring? Like anytime they practice, they're allowed to have prospects on campus. Is that throughout spring practice? How's that work?
Yeah, it's wide open right now. You can have recruits visit basically any time you want from the start of what I guess it was earlier this month, from like March 3rd or something like that, maybe the 4th, really up until like the end of June. As long as you don't have coaches out on the road recruiting, when coaches are allowed to start doing that, which is in about a month from now, you can have recruits just about every day you want. Again, as long as your coaches aren't out on the road. So, yeah, if they're practicing, they can come in and watch practice. If they're just meeting, they can come in and sit on meetings. They can do just about whatever they can within the confines of the rule book, whatever that rule book looks like now. So yeah, it's wide open.
So do they try to structure this where they bring guys in? I'm not sure if you're aware or not. I'm just curious. You'd be the guy to ask if anybody would know. Do they try to bring guys in and then culminate this with the spring game? And they've got those cookouts and all that stuff later down the road. But try to get guys on campus and maybe try to get them back officially or unofficially for the spring game. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, it just sort of depends on who you're talking about. And obviously the 2025s are the only ones who can take official visits. But, yeah, I think it's one of those deals where, hey, we'd like to have you. They're talking to a recruit. Hey, we'd like to have you come in, watch a practice this spring. Here are our dates. Let us know which one works for you. All right, great. Come in this day. Well, the spring game, as you know, is the 20th of April, so we'd like to have you back for that as well. And then we've got official visit weekends in June, but you can also take one in April. And I would think that maybe for that spring game weekend that if you're taking an official visit that weekend to South Carolina, you're probably a really top-end, high-level prospect for the Gamecocks. So I think most of their guys, they're encouraging to come in June for those official visits. But as we know, David Sanders is taking the spring game weekend, and Ryan Montgomery is a possibility that weekend as well. So, so yeah, there's a whole lot of opportunities for Carolina to host recruits over the next several months.
So what's David Sanders' deal? He had at one point in time seemed like it was hot, and then maybe it kind of cooled off. What's going on with him?
Yeah, I mean, it was never really hot. Yeah, he visited. I guess it would have been last spring. He came to a spring practice, maybe. I can't remember exactly, but you know, he came in for his first visit, you know, a year or so ago, however long ago it was, and said some really good things about it in an interview that I did with him. And I think some folks might have just read a little too much into him saying he had a good visit and thought that immediately put South Carolina at or near the top of his recruitment. And that was never really the case. He's always been one of those type of recruits who's got a lot of interest from other schools, like big time schools. And as we've talked about a lot on here with JC, Clemson, and I apologize to anyone who's offended by me referring to Clemson as a big time school, but Clemson is one of those programs that he's thought a lot about or a lot of and really been high on. And that's going to be tough to overcome. I mean, Georgia is a factor too. Alabama. I mean, South Carolina is certainly a player in this whole thing. I mean, they obviously wouldn't have him in for an official visit already or have it lined up and wouldn't be in his top five or top six, whatever that is right now. So they're definitely in the mix, but I don't think that they're at that upper tier type of consideration for David Sanders. But I could be wrong. Maybe he thinks a lot more of them than I've interpreted.
Well, obviously it's important to get him on campus, which they're going to do, but do you know what his timeline is? Is he going to make a decision sooner or later, or do we not?
I don't know 100%, but I think it could be before the end of the summer. I want to say that he's mentioned that before.
Okay. Early enrollee?
I believe so, yes. I believe so.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, if the Tigers reel him in, that would be something. They've been recruiting at a pretty elite clip in the trenches. What about South Carolina up front on both sides of the ball? What are the hot names to keep an eye on there? Clearly, defensive line is an issue. I know they're going to go to the portal next year. They don't have any choice. They're going to have to do that. But are there any other names to keep an eye on out of high school?
Yeah, on the offensive side of the ball, Jalen Gilchrist is one. Isaac Soles. There are a couple others who have lined up official visits from the offensive line. They're doing really well there, as they have been for the last couple of years from a recruiting standpoint. Defensively, it's not quite at that same level for whatever reason. I mean, and especially along the interior, they've been a little bit behind on some guys, which is to be expected. And I know there's been a lot of concern about that from fans with the defensive tackle position, but you know, Travion Robertson didn't get here until last May. Still, for another month and a half, he has been here for less than a year. So he was working from behind that way and missed out on Amari Adams. And we're just trying to piece together some other names that could be that South Carolina could be a factor for. Caleb Williams is one, the guy from Virginia, not the quarterback. He's coming down for the spring game. He's got an official visit in June. Anthony Addison is an end from Sumter, who South Carolina has been involved with. He's taking a bunch of unofficials. He's taking an official in June. Jared Smith is a guy from Alabaster, Alabama. I believe he's from Alabaster.
Yeah.
He's one of the top two or three defensive ends in the country, depending on whatever list you're looking at, who's taking an official visit in June. He's been to Columbia a few times as an unofficial visitor. So they're doing better at end, I would say, than they are at tackle. But I'm personally still not quite to the point where folks need to start freaking out about tackle. And again, they've got a lot of bodies to replace at that position before next year. But there's still time to sort it all out. And like you said, JP, there's always the portal. We can try to fill in some pieces that way too.
It's the name of the game, man. It's the name of the game. It's hard to get a big time edge out of the state of Alabama when there's schools named, you know, Alabama and Auburn within their borders. But I guess if someone can do it, maybe Shane Beamer and his staff can pull that off. You mentioned Montgomery will be at the spring game on an official. David Sanders at this.
It's not finalized. He's an official, Ryan Montgomery. It could. Okay. He'll be there. It's just not for sure if it's an official or non-official. Sorry.
Are they? No, I probably put words in your mouth. That's on me. Did they? Are he's a guy. He's clearly on commitment watch. Would that be maybe a circle that date while he's in town? Maybe he leaves as a Gamecock.
I don't know. He's planning to take an official visit to Georgia in June. So,
ooh,
I don't know if I would classify it that way. Maybe that changes if Georgia's got another 2025 quarterback in their class by next month. But I don't think, could be wrong. I don't think that's a quote unquote commitment watch weekend for Ryan Montgomery. At least as it stands right now.
Findlay, Ohio. It's 11:35. Hale McGranahan here. It's been a gloomy week. Hale, March 26th. We're getting towards Easter, but it's been certainly pretty gloomy to open it up. For elsewhere in recruiting, anything that I've missed or anything that you've got coming down the pipe here over the next few days that we need to keep our eyes on at the Big Spur?
Not a whole lot to speak of. I mean, they've got a couple guys in here today. A linebacker, another defensive end, both 2025 guys. So just kind of plugging along and trying to see who we can get confirmed as far as coming in for practices this week. Obviously, there's a few weeks left beyond this one, and we got a bunch of names confirmed for the month of April as well. So we're trying to see if we can piece that together for these next couple of days, today included. But there's a lot going on. I don't want folks to misconstrue what I'm saying right now. There's some things that are happening, and they're, you know, 23 official visitors already scheduled for South Carolina. So even though so one guy in the commitment class right now, like there's a lot that's going to be happening here within the next few months or so.
Summer has been good to the Gamecocks from a recruiting standpoint under Shane Beamer. Hopefully it will be again. Hey, we know you got to get out of here. You got to get to a press conference here in just a little bit. Maybe grab a bite to eat. Has Fink, you know, decided to start catering these things, or are we just no, grab a snack, walk in?
Yeah, it's BYO, BYOL, I guess. Bring your own lunch.
Or BYOB.
Brunch. Is it brunch? Can you brunch on a Tuesday?
I meant beer, but you know, either way. What do you think the Finker would think about Whittle sitting up there just, you know, popping a cold Miller Lite or something as Shane starts his press conference? I don't know that would go very well.
Just hitting that tab like right as Shane starts talking.
That's right.
Yeah, that probably wouldn't be received very well.
Or maybe Cloninger crushing one as he asked the first question. He fights for the first question, man. He's everybody just knows that's DC's spot. Back up.
It's not a fight. There's no fight involved. It just happens.
It just happens.
Well, next time you see him, you tell him he's getting a little gray up there. He needs to grab some Just for Men or something. It's you know, he's aging. That baby, that, well, it's not a baby now. I guess his son's probably what, 2, maybe 3? Aging, yeah, aging him a little bit.
I'm not going to talk about another man's hair.
Well, what about what? Give me a grade on Phil's hair.
Impeccable.
Yeah, it's perfect. Look at it. Yeah,
that's right. Not a single one out of place.
Hale, did you watch the Upstate game last week? USC Upstate, South Carolina. Did you watch that on the SEC Plus?
No, I did not. No.
It was every time they went to the Carolina dugout. There he was, about 4 rows above it, old CIA Phil sitting, keeping watch over everything with his aviators and bald head. He didn't move there to the like, end
every
game.
Time a righty steps in the box, I'm on TV. That's just, there I had was. To remember that.
he had King's backside, man. He was protecting him from all the hecklers.
What? I mean, taking over for David Cromer, I guess.
Well, Cromer, he had the 9-3 look, stuff. And I was taking the 3-9 on the back.
Oh, okay, yeah,
yeah.
That makes sense. Hey, you know, up until this weekend, there probably needed to be a couple extra folks on that security detail for King the way that opening weekend went in SEC play.
God forbid you lose a game in baseball, Hill. It's amazing. Falls right. apart in a hurry around here. Yeah. Great stuff. Great stuff as always. We'll always be tuned in to the Big Spur for your reports. Great one last night. VIP room last night loaded with information. Those that haven't read it, I would suggest hopping on board and doing so. Have a great rest of the week, my man, and happy Easter to you and your bride.
Appreciate that. And I wanted to shout out Craig Godwin. I'm a Divided Sky guy. That's my my choice out of those two songs.
I don't even. What are you talking about? What is that?
Just hippie stuff. No big deal.
Hippie stuff.
It's the ringtone on my cellular device. So it's a good little tune. Yeah.
There you go, Craig. You got one in today, and you got it answered. Well done. Well done.
All right, boys. Thanks. Appreciate y'all.
Thanks, Hale. See you, man.
Thanks, Hale.
There you go. The great and very funny Hale McGranahan joining us at the top of the 11 o'clock hours, he always does on Tuesdays. Mm-hmm. We do need to step aside. Yeah, Michi is transferring. We certainly will discuss that. We'll get into some more Carolina football as well. Again, JC with a pretty loaded and positive report last night from the program. South Carolina baseball is back on the diamond tonight as well, and much, much more. We're here till 2. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Tartan Day South, built by Culpeper Wood, is the largest Tartan Day celebration in the Southeast. Friday, April the 5th, 3 great Celtic rock bands perform at the Lexington Amphitheater. Saturday, April 6th, it's the main event at the historic Columbia Speedway in Casey, featuring Highland Games, Celtic dance, music, and food, featuring exhibits like sheepdog herding, birds of prey, and classic British cars at the largest Tartan Day celebration in the Southeast. Get your tickets now at TartanDaySouth.com.
Gamecock Traditions, South Carolina's elite retailer for anything Gamecock related. The best selection for basketball, baseball, football, tailgating, kids stuff, and everything else. If it's got the Gamecock logo, it's gotta be at Gamecock Traditions. Most importantly, they ship it to your doorstep. Order online at GamecockTraditions.com, where there's always a sale. Gamecock Traditions, GamecockTraditions.com, a tradition unlike the others.
So he comes over to me and he says, listen to me, I don't want to hear one more word out of you about my refereeing today. You say one more word about my refereeing, then you're going to be thrown out of this game. And so I turned around to all my parents. I go, hey, parents, I'm not allowed to tell the ref how bad he is, so I'm going to need you to do that for me.
Oh.
He said, you're gone.
I'm a beggar who could use some help. I'm a seeker
searching for myself. I'm a rolling stone, just waiting on a friend. I'm a lover, wishing on a star for another, with a broken heart to hold each other close till the end.
Nana's Porch, nanasporch.com. At Nana's Porch, they cater weddings, parties, and all kinds of special events. Their meals are served buffet style, and seconds, they're encouraged. Plus, they can bring their mobile food unit to bring on-site and serve your guests as a unique alternative for your catering needs. Inquire about rentals as well. nanasporch.com. Find them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, 336-259-7550.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Tony Pope State Farm is your go-to agent anywhere in South Carolina, North Carolina, or Georgia for the service you deserve at the price you want. So try combining your home, life, auto, and or small business insurance today. Tony Pope State Farm has been in business for more than 30 years and can handle anything you need in the tri-state area. 843-851-2222 or visit TonyPope.com today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.
Touchdown Brewer. Set up a screen and it goes to Brewer. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown Brewer, his second of the day. Pitches it to Brewer. Turns to corner. Touchdown, number 3 of the afternoon.
Hey, folks, it's Mike Morgan for Ryan Brewer Fence. That's right, you know the former Gamecock legend as a terrific college football player. Well, I know him as that, too. I also know him as the guy that runs a great business, one of the best businesses in South Carolina. How do I know that? Well, for one, I'm actually a client of Ryan's. I had my home in Columbia done years ago, and his crew did an outstanding job, just as he does for everybody else. Whether you're in the market for a fence, railings, columns, or anything in between, their craftsmanship, their experience, and service second to none. Ryan Brewer Fence has over 15 years of experience with consultation and installation of residential and commercial fencing and railings. Rest assured, your job will be done with an unparalleled level of expertise, and it's done on time, and they do it right the first time. Again, you're not going to do any better than Ryan Brewer. Ryan Brewer Fence, the website is ryanbrewer.net. Set up an appointment today. Tell them Mike sent you.
My company is Billy G's Carolina Barbecue. We are based in Columbia, South Carolina, and we have two lines of sauces and a spice rub. I mean, when people try our product, they know it's a gourmet product and it can go on any type of food.
not surprisingly delicious. It's expectedly delicious.
Oh, man. The building is on fire.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you, guiding you through the process and working with you to get your home or office back in working order. They'll answer your questions, discuss procedures, and can act as your advocate when it comes to processing your insurance claim. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.
This is Zachary Davis from Carolina Hoops, and you're watching the show with JB, JC, and Phil.
Going to do this.
Johnson with the crossover. Off the glass and in. Deep three for Johnson. Buried it.
Cooper extra give. Hoist near the horn. Got it.
Right
to the baseline. Shot fake. Shot. South Carolina. A state with an overtime road win.
Take it to the left now and dip with it. Don't throw down. Take a sip with it. Now lean back.
GamecockTraditions.com's got you covered. Anything and everything with that logo on it. Gamecock Traditions, located in Lexington and at the Village, it's Sandhill. So it gets you, you know, both ends of the spectrum in the Columbia market. Or you can just head to the website, GamecockTraditions.com, and they'll mail it to you wherever you are. GamecockTraditions.com. They clothe us around here as well, you know, and we certainly appreciate what those guys do. It'll get you all tee-eyed up if you're going to go out and watch Carolina baseball this spring. JC should be along here in just a little bit, and he will join the party again here till 2 o'clock today on Inside the Gamecocks, the show. 26-8, the final record for Carolina, 13-5 in the league, as we all well know, knocked out by the Oregon Ducks in the first round of the NCAA tournament, and now their first defection in the transfer portal. Michi Johnson, 14.1 points per game this year, 32% from long range, 40% from the floor overall. About 3 assists and 4 boards per game. I don't know where he ends up. Phil, I would imagine Ohio State's probably one to closely keep an eye on here. We, you know, there have been, I don't know, drifted smells of smoke about this off and on. I mean, I can't say that I haven't heard it, but you kind of dismiss it and enjoy the ride of the season, which we were able to do. But now he's going to leave. He did speak for like 2 minutes yesterday on, I don't know what it was, Snapchat or something, some social media platform, basically letting everybody, thanking everybody and letting everybody know he'll always appreciate it around here, but he is off for either greener pastures or maybe getting closer to home. I'm not sure what it is, but Carolina will have to fill his role in the transfer portal.
Yeah. You know, hey, listen, it's better to lose a player to Ohio State than a coach in this offseason. So full confidence that we'll be able to get Coach Paris back on the horse when it comes to the transfer portal. It would not surprise me if he hasn't already, you know, kind of started filling in some gaps behind the scenes and making some inroads with some players to come head this way. So, you know, you're going to hate seeing Michi gone. He was a big contributor to the success that this team has had, and it is what it is. It's just, you know, the state of all of college sports right now with the transfer portal, nobody's safe, but that's why you pull for the name on the front of the jersey as opposed to the back. Although it's hard not, you know, developing some feelings for some of these guys, you know, like you used to, like, especially from the, like, kids. That's the thing that I think bothers me the most about the transfer portal, is that these kids idolize some of these players, you know, and want to imitate their game because they play for their team, and then all of a sudden, you know, they're gone. Poof. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of those lessons that we as parents, I guess, have to teach the kids is that, listen, it's more about the university than it is the individual players. But hate to see it happen.
Yeah, you really do. And I'm with you. We've had these conversations over and over and over and over, mainly around football over the last few years. You know, I think I mentioned this earlier with Hale. When you grow up loving college athletics because you felt connected to the players, they were there for 3 years, for 4 years. Your families could connect a little bit because most of us went. I mean, everybody in my family went to South Carolina, literally everybody. And so there's that, like, not everybody played for the Baltimore Ravens, you know, we didn't all play for the New York Giants or the Atlanta Falcons. You know, you pull for those teams cause you live in that area or whatever it may be, but you can connect to these schools because we went there or people in our family went there, and then you connect to the players and you get these autographs and these pictures and you keep them forever. I mean, I go back to guys that I grew up, you know, falling in love with in football and basketball, you know, Melvin Watson. How about let's just do basketball to compare it. Melvin Watson, right? And Larry Davis and BJ and Ryan Stack, that whole group, that 96, 97 group, and even prior to that, Kerry and just so many dudes. Well, would I feel that way today if Melvin transferred out after a year? Probably not. Mm-hmm. Now, with that said, Larry Davis transferred in to South Carolina, and that's back in the day when you had to – when you had to sit, and he did. He came in from North Carolina, and he came in and then spent a couple years here, and then he was gone. But it wasn't at the pace that you've got it now, where, you know, I mean, shoot, Meachie already transferred here, and now he's leaving again. And, yeah. And it wasn't too long ago, you couldn't even do that. You've already transferred once, you're going to need to sit out for a year. So, yeah, from that standpoint, the emotional side of it stinks. I loved – The thing that I loved about Meachie was he added flair to the program. You know what I mean? Like, right. He added some good, like, because you only generally have a guy that comes along with every group here and there, at least around here, that has a little bit of that flair. And he had it. He had it. He didn't always hit every shot, of course. We know that. He had his ups and downs and his ebbs and his flows. But he did have some flair. And when he transferred, Phil, do you remember when he transferred to Columbia? He was hurt, right? And really nobody knew what to expect out of him. Well, he's, you know, he's buddies with LeBron James, and we know that he was highly recruited, you know, but he hasn't been healthy. What's he going to be at South Carolina? And it ended up really, really turning out well for him. Certainly wish him the best. No, there's no hard feelings or anything like that. I don't think there shouldn't be. And appreciate his time here. They wouldn't have been where they were without him. And it certainly was a special year, but as Coach Paris pointed out on our program, Phil, 2 weeks ago today, I think it was, he said, when you go to the portal, you have to recruit guys whose vision closely aligns with what your vision for them is. And he's been pretty good at identifying and being able to do that. And I'm pretty confident he'll do that again.
Yeah, I mean, you got to figure some of these conversations that have happened in the background that we just aren't necessarily privy to, or in some way, shape, or form, either kind of fueling this decision or at least, you know, supporting it in one way or another. And it's not very rare, let's say, for what a coach needs or expects from a player to differ from what it is that they're intending or wanting to do in their roles. And if those two don't jive, then this is probably one of the better parts of the transfer portal. And I'm not saying that this is specific to the Meachie Johnson situation. Please don't get me, you know, don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. But if a player and a coach don't jive, then it's good that the player has the opportunity to go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. You know, and like I said, I don't know if that plays into what's going on with Meachie Johnson, but it's just one of those, you know, kind of secondary effects that the transfer portal has when it comes to a team as a whole, is to be able to give guys who might not necessarily be the best teammates because they're being, you know, either sidelined for not filling the roles that the coach wants them to, or not happy with the roles that they're going, you know, to do with the coach, to get that negativity off of a team.
Right. Yep. Well, and I'll say this too. You know, for this, because every scenario is a little bit different, right? If Carolina had been rolling out consecutive tournament after consecutive tournament after consecutive tournament, you would, the Michi news, while it would still hit hard, because I think Michi's a fan favorite around here.
Oh, yeah.
It would have a little bit of a different feel, but, you know, this program had a breakthrough year in number two under Coach Paris. And we all, media or fans or whoever it is, and looking at the program, and I mentioned this last week, we'll dabble in it, but kind of wait a little bit and see what this thing's going to look like before we start looking to next year, because you just don't know anymore. But fans felt like, wow, you know, they did this. They're going to lose BJ Mack. They're going to lose Talon Cooper, two guys. Everybody is always replaceable, but they also had so much value, not just from being players, but being leaders in the program. They're going to lose Stephen Clark, of course. But you return all these guys, and Michi's name was Michi and Colin Murray Boyles. You mentioned either 1A or 1B, however you would begin to have that conversation. And so I would certainly understand why there would be a little bit of PTSD, you know, with fans like, oh, one step forward, two steps back. But yeah, at the same time, you know, again, not to diminish Michi Johnson as a basketball player, I don't mean it this way, and I'm sure he was watching right now, I'm sure he'd understand what I'm saying. There's going to be something like 1,500 players in the portal, dude. I mean, you know, so what goes around can come around if you get it right. And again, this staff has proven thus far that they have a pretty good idea of how to do that. So we'll see what it looks like. But I'm going to go out on a limb here. I know we're at the end of the hour, Phil. I'll go out. You hold me to this. I'll owe you $20 if I'm wrong. I bet every single year, unless a rule is changed, every year, no matter who the coach is, it could be Lamont Paris, John Calipari, John Wooden, doesn't matter. There's going to be a transfer from South Carolina, and it's probably going to be a name that people are pretty familiar with. Right. And that's going to be at every school in the country until they get this figured out. Yeah. Gamecocks won't escape it.
Definitely not going to be rare, right? And I mean, we've seen it before, Juice being the prime example. I think, you know, not that I'm comparing the situations, you know, because we need to be clear about that. I mean, nobody's trying to say anything negative about Michi and what it is, and or trying to presuppose why it is that he's left. But yeah, I mean, until it's not here, the transfer portal is here to stay, and it will always be a factor when it comes to athletics programs at any university.
Yeah, no doubt. Bird in the chat box. I hope you're not talking about us, because neither one of us roasted Michi Johnson. But Bert, if you can clarify, we'd appreciate that. It is time for our final timeout of hour one. Plenty more on this. Carolina football, baseball, March Madness. The Braves set to play in just a couple of days. How about those Atlanta Braves? We'll be right back.
Charleston Fitness Equipment is keeping South Carolina in shape. Clients have come from all over the Palmetto State to find that one piece of equipment that they enjoy that keeps them looking and feeling good. Whether it's a home rower, treadmill, elliptical, free weights, a home gym, or something else, Charleston Fitness Equipment keeps the mirror smiling back at you. Get in shape like the Gamecocks do. Visit CharlestonFitnessEquipment.com. Gamecock owned and operated and proud partners of Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
The preferred sign partner of Gamecock Athletics is Signorama Columbia, and they should be yours too. A full-service sign company that handles design, production, install, and service, Signorama Columbia has helped to bring to life the perfect vision for so many all across South Carolina. Owned and operated by proud Gamecock alumni, they can handle all types of signage, including interior and exterior, vehicle graphics, and more. Go to Signorama.com and find the West Columbia location, or call them at 803-407-9284. Bring your brand to life with Signorama Columbia and go Gamecocks.
Cool Joe here. And when I'm not eating average jambalaya or celebrating endless summer in Destin, I like to eat pimento cheese straight out the bucket. Mmm. And the only pimento cheese I like to eat is from Nana's Porch. It's award-winning. It'll melt in your mouth. It's good on a cracker. It's good in a bowl. It's good on a piece of bread. Also, don't forget, Nana's Porch has a hell of a food truck. It's award-winning as well, and they're here for all of your catering needs. So get online, nanasporch.com. It's mm-mm good. Coach O signing off. Endless summer. Go Tiger.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For chicken cock, we get a medium to medium plus toast. The char level, we use a number 3 level char. If you char too deep, you start burning away some of those flavor components that you just created. If you just char a barrel and you don't toast it, you're going to create some of those flavors just on a thin layer just inside the char, but not the actual depth and full extent of flavors that you're going to get if you toast it properly. All those elements, that's exactly what they do. They boil down to great flavor.
If you're in the real estate market in the Lowcountry or even in the Midlands, please contact me, JB, with Coast to Coast Realty SC. Go Gamecocks.
This break is presented by Billy G's Carolina Barbecue, the state newspaper's 2023 winner for Best Catering, Best Barbecue, and Best Food Truck. Visit BillyG'sCarolinaBarbecue.com for all of your catering needs.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is.
It is 12:05. Guess what? Oh, hey, look who's here. Schubert's here. Guess what, Mad Dog? I just got my Sweet Heat, my Carolina Gold, and my Secret Spice Rub in the mail today. Thanks to the UPS folks. What can brown do for you? What can Billy G do for you? Well, there you go. Delivered to my doorstep. Ordered Friday, here Tuesday. Fantastic. So now my kids can eat.
We did some peel and eat shrimp up here over the weekend and used the secret spice rub. Yeah. Oh yeah, oh, delicious!
I know, and good. I'm a shrimp purist now. You know, like I'm you know I don't be messing with my shrimp, man. You know, like only like good shrimp, and I mean I like all shrimp, but we know what good shrimp tastes like. No, don't be messing with the shrimp. But he told me last fall we were. I can't remember what game it was for, and we were doing a low country boil, and Mr. Bill said, "I'm telling you, put the secret spice on it." I said, "All right, if you screw this up, we're gonna have a big problem here."
Right.
he nailed it. He nailed it. And so now, we do the same thing. We dump it on the shrimp. But anyways, you can order all that at CarolinaBarbecueSauce.com. CarolinaBarbecueSauce.com. It'll be delivered right there, UPS, bam, to your doorstep. And then also Billy G's CarolinaBarbecue.com if you would like to order catering. And it is, we got transfer portal season and baseball season. It's also graduation season. So those that need catering for graduation, they'll be here before you know it. Make sure you head to Billy G's CarolinaBarbecue.com. If you're headed to the ballpark tonight, you can now eat from two locations, one behind home plate. It was supposed to be down the left field line, but that gum Ray Tanner, I tell you what, he's in charge of the food too. You know, he's in charge of potholes. He's in charge of shrub trimmings. He's also in charge of locating the food properly on the concourse. And he had one big porker, and he thought, you know what, this is going to just need to be closer to my suite. So he moved him. Back underneath home plate, right there, bam. Get up, turn around, there they are. And if you're down the right field line, when you enter from the center field wall, you'll walk right by them, and you stop and get you a big Tex or maybe the smoked mac and cheese, whatever it is, Billy G's Carolina Barbecue. Speaking of the portal, how about Auburn guard KD Johnson jumping in as well, class of 2020, so he's been around a while, got a free year out of Hargrave in Virginia. He had some issues in that South Carolina game, and he's got some temperament problems, I would say. I think I kindly heard Jimmy Dykes explain it on TV as him and Bruce Pearl have a, quote, unique relationship. That tells me him and Bruce Pearl probably have a problem in their relationship.
Yeah, that's
and that right. Probably tells you why KD Johnson is saying, I'm out of here. And he's going to go somewhere else. I'll take Bruce Pearl in that fight. So what do you think, JC? Now that Michi's gone, you want KD Johnson on your team or nah? You let him go somewhere else, right?
Depends on if he can channel his emotions. I think having emotions of being competitive is one thing. I think losing your freaking mind on the court is another. And in that South Carolina game, the tournament, he definitely did. And he's not good enough to. I mean, it's not like he's. I mean, he's good, and he's not. I mean, you know, you balance everything. How good are you with stuff like that? And so he's not. But yeah, that's. I don't think that would be a direction Lamont Paris would go. I think, you know, depending on who's out there, you know, I mean, there's a chance South Carolina could upgrade. There's a chance not. Michi's a very unique player in a lot of ways. In a lot of ways, he's not. The most important thing to replace, and you guys are probably going to want to kill me, those of you that love recruiting and star ratings and stuff like that, the most important thing is getting a guy that fits the system. South Carolina is now a system basketball program.
Yeah.
So you can get somebody that's more talented than Michi or just as talented as Michi, but if he doesn't have that basketball character that Lamont was talking about on the show, if he's a ball hog, if he takes stupid shots, if he wastes trips down the court because of his own over-bloated self-confidence, which is what Michi did last year, not this year so much, if you notice, it's not going to work. You got to have a guy like Michi who, when he's off, decided to share the basketball and use his talents to – benefit the whole team, and that's what they're going to look for. I kind of think maybe they'll end up with a guy that's a little bit taller that can play pressure defense on the perimeter length. They can also shoot and distribute and do so. There'll be a different player than Michi, but may end up actually being, you know, somebody that gives them a little bit more defense, you know, defensive prowess for next season. That's just kind of, I don't know who it is, but my guess is that they may go in that direction. But there's a lot of guards out there. It's just one of those things. I went through the chat box when I got on today. There's some disappointing things in here, as normal. First and foremost, Markwell Blackwell, I reported this. You don't have to wait on anybody else to report it. I reported Saturday Ohio State was looking to hire him. Our Bucknuts site reported it. They've been credible for 20 years. I checked with people at USC. They said they wouldn't be surprised. I kept working until I went up the chain, up the food chain a little bit.
Got to be honest with you here. I'm pretty sure I know who said this to you, but when I read the report last night, I started laughing because hats off to you for being a man. Throw it out there, man. We had your back earlier. We said you might want to go read the report, JC.
Yeah, I did that. And if you're not a member, that's fine. But no, what am I supposed to think? I mean, you know, people are like, hey, I wouldn't be surprised. And then you go, and there were some reasons I reported that. I mean, I said it hasn't happened, but keep an eye on it. But I said, nah, he's going to stay. So he's staying. So you don't have to worry about that. Everybody's freaking out on D-tackle recruiting. I get it. I wouldn't be worried about it right now. Austin, any concerns in the cornerback position? They have to shore up one side. Judge Collier, leader in the clubhouse now. It's probably him. But Vakari Swain, Emery Floyd, Jalua Solomon are going to have something to say about that. Going on, blah, 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 blah. Matt Luke, yes, he is going to be an issue recruiting at Clemson.
No doubt.
All right, so here's what I want to talk about. Why are we all of a sudden thinking South Carolina's going to lose a bunch of players in the portal in football for the 1 week in the spring? I mean, I guess it's possible, but everybody's on a big NIL deal right now. Everybody's happy. They've agreed to it. I can't see anybody just up and leaving. Maybe somebody's not going to play that's disgruntled with the depth chart. But, you know, there's things in the like Micah here. Josh Pate said the portal will explode this spring. Our roster can get torched by other programs soon. Why? South Carolina's roster hasn't gotten torched by other programs yet, and they had a much worse NIL situation 2 years ago. Why would that be in spring? You tell me where the logic is, because Josh is right. There's going to be a lot of activity because places like Alabama, they have new coaches, have space. So they're going to be after guys, but don't let Michi Johnson potentially going home bleed over into all of a sudden the football roster is going to be in disarray. I mean, that period is over. People have worked hard to settle this, right? And you never say never, and I'm not going to say and don't come back at me if one or two guys leaves and say, I told you so. One or two guys is not the whole roster walking out the door. You know, so there's that down here. Jacob's like, we're about to lose a lot of football players when it opens up. Where are you getting this from? Why? Why would they? Most of them, if they're going to leave, are going to leave midterm so they can go through spring practice at their new school. You know, I just stop. I mean, this is getting on my nerves. It's like one basketball player who's 24 years old leaves and is probably going back home to where his parents don't have to dad's high school basketball coach doesn't have to fly red eye to Columbia, which is hard to fly to watch his son play. He's probably gonna go back and play closer to home. If he's not, yeah, maybe there's something else. And I'll also say this: nobody was outbidded NIL wise. South Carolina did not even have a chance to tell him what the possibilities were for NIL next year. And believe me, it was very, very reasonable and to good, to quite good. You know, so don't blame poor old South Carolina either. You know, you want to help that? Spread the word about Garnet Trust. You know, I mean, you want to help that. I mean, that's another thing. Oh God, getting outbid? No, that how do you outbid somebody that has a bid? I mean, it didn't even want to. You know, So here we go. Let's not let this bleed into football. That's panicky and probably untrue and not going to happen. I mean, we've had this portal thing for years, and South Carolina loses very few players after spring that are going to play, right? They're going to go add some guys like they always do. Let's not let it bleed over there, you know, and worry about it. Mass panic. I mean, one of these things is not like the other. Every situation is different. And it gets old sometimes where people think the sky's falling and all of that. When there are things that have happened that are very, very positive in that regard, you know, it just kind of makes people that are out there working for this type of stuff and putting time, effort, blood, sweat, and tears into it, it's like, you know, panic. It's like there's no – I mean, it just makes you want to throw up and quit half the time. To have this, you know, you come in here, Jacob, oh, we're going to lose a lot of football players. Says who? Who's your source? Who told you that? You know, I mean, I'm not saying you have to have a source. It may be your opinion, but where are you getting it from? You just pulling out of your sky, the sky? Or a dark place? I don't know. Because Meechie Johnson left? I don't know. I don't want to be coming here all pissed off today, but, I mean, seriously, man. I mean, I just, you know, you look and, you know, it sort of is what it is. And I don't mind that you guys gripe and complain, but just don't make stuff up off the top of your head. That's called propaganda. Do you want to be responsible for spreading propaganda that's going to negatively impact your favorite team? I wouldn't want to do that. So, anyway.
I kind of like propaganda better than propaganda, for what it's worth.
Propaganda is a type of jambalaya.
Like a good rap name. Be like a good rap name. Quantrill said the source is Twitter Spaces. Well, there you go. It's 12:16 here on Inside the Gamecocks show. It's time for a timeout. A reminder tonight: first pitch will be thrown at 6:30 at Founders Park between the Blue O's of Presbyterian and the Gamecocks of South Carolina, who are riding a 5-game winning streak that comes in with the 3-game sweep of the Vanderbilt Commodores. Eddie Copper, once again, will get the ball here in the midweek versus Presbyterian's Tristan McGregor. 3-1 with a 2.08 earned run average, by the way. Nice little start to the year for that young man. More on baseball later, but when we return, we will continue with football and get into some SEC notes and circle back to some of what JC reported in last night's VIP room as well. Hang tight. Inside the Gamecocks, the show. We'll be right back. It's 2024, and it's time to get in shape. Charleston Fitness Equipment can help you do just that in Mount Pleasant. The Wilkins family, big Gamecock fans and proud supporters of Carolina Rise and our programming on the Chief Sports Network. But most importantly, proud supporters of you getting healthy and staying healthy. CharlestonFitnessEquipment.com. Find them on the Chief Sports app and in Mount Pleasant. Happy New Year.
Hey, Gamecock fans, Mike Morgan here. During my time in Columbia, one of my favorite places to eat was Salsarita's. When I go back now for work or any other reason, it's still Salsarita's. Yeah, I'm like you. I love tacos. I love Tex-Mex. Where are you going to go to get them? Well, you've got two convenient Salsarita's locations, one in Lexington at the Target Center and one in West Columbia as well. Now, if you like tailgating, and who doesn't? Whether it's for a football game or anything else, they've got the catering hotline. Get yourself some Fiesta packs to take tailgating. Get yourself the Three Amigos bundles for tailgating. They make catering easy with a fresh, hot setup. And again, you just call the phone number 803-543-6297 to set it up. You can also look them up online, or you can even download the app. Salsarita's is just a cut above the rest. That's why they're serving Williams-Brice Stadium and the South Stands, also serving in the Colonial Life Arena. Again, that catering hotline number, make it easy for you and the folks out there. You don't need to settle for sandwiches every time. 803-543-6297. 803-543-6297.
Rescues and Resin, proud supporters of Carolina Rise. They are also proud partners of the show. They make products you can't get anywhere else. Custom designed wood and resin products that make your tailgate, make your home, or make anything stand out. Order a custom cutting board, coasters, wall art, tables, and more. Contact Dustin and Tabitha
at rescuesandresin.com today. Rescuesandresin.com, and put your imagination to work. Rescues and Resin, proud partners of Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
It is 1220, the beautiful campus that we have here at the University of South Carolina. Welcome back inside the Gamecocks, the show. It is 1220. We are powered by our friends at Electric Bikes in Charleston. Anybody seen the weather forecast for Easter? Beautiful. 80 and sunny here, in, at least in our neck of the woods. And if you want to get outside after you eat all that food and you're like, oh, no, what am I going to do now? Get out of church, eat food. Then you're full. If you have an electric bike, see, this is, you got the good and the bad here, and it makes it all good. The good news is you're going to get out on a bike. The bad news is it's easy to just click the switch and just let the bike drive you. So you get a little work on it, get a few miles, and then you're like, I'm going to ease it back home. And then you just put it in pedal assist. There you go. Make that your spring purchase at Electric Bikes of Charleston, electricbikescharleston.com. They've sold everybody in the state of South Carolina as well.
I'll add this. My mother and stepfather bought electric bikes recently. Did not buy them from Electric Bikes of Charleston because I did not tell them to. I'm sorry.
Long ways for them to come down, though. That's okay.
I apologize to Michelle and company. I should have told them, but they got it off the internet or something. And so my mom's is the best thing she could have gotten. You know, they retired recently. They have a camper. They carry their daughter around. They're raising a 5-year-old, so they carry her around, and they skedaddle all over the state parks and stuff. And my mom's got bad knees, so that really helps. So if you have bad knees or and you want to skedaddle around, go get you an electric bike. They're amazing. And if you feel bad about that because you want to be getting exercise, you get a rowing machine like JB's got. Mm-hmm. Also, same place. I love it.
Yeah,
same place. It.
Makes me feel very, very good when you eat like crap and drink like crap on the weekend, except for the chicken cock. That's not crap. That's the good stuff, but the fried stuff. You know? All right, so we haven't really, and not that it was big news, it's not, but we haven't had a chance with all the hoops and stuff, baseball that's been going on, to get to what the SEC is doing in 25 by sticking with the same schedule but flipping it this year with their 16 league teams, including Oklahoma and Texas, of course. Gamecocks will welcome the Tide, the Sooners, the Commodores, and the Kentucky Wildcats to Williams-Brice Stadium. That's in addition to the fact that Clemson will be back in town, and they'll be playing in Atlanta to open the year, guys, against the Virginia Tech Hokies. So It is going to be a challenge of short sorts, as we all well know. They'll hit the road for the SEC West. Seriously. Texas A&M, Missouri, we've all thought should be in the West anyways. Ole Miss and LSU. The opponents, it's not really the point of the conversation. I get what they're doing. But, JC, they're just buying time, right? They're just buying time to figure out what they want to do in 26. Moving forward, I don't think that they would just come out and say it this way, but with the goalposts continuing to move, guys, with the college football playoff, and you got the SEC and the Big Ten kind of headlining the future of this thing and mandating how many teams may get in and may not get in. I think that they want to get a pretty good idea of what league schedule would give them the best opportunity to do that.
Yeah, you wonder. And Sonder, they've already decided it's a 14-team playoff in 2026. Don't ask me. I would have gone to 16. I don't understand. Because I guarantee you that I keep – nobody cares about the fans anymore. And that pisses me off too. You know, I've gone like from, wow, this is these times are unprecedented with all the expansion and stuff, to going, let's just get to two super conferences and be done with it so you can go back to regional, like play within your region and, you know, your rivalries are preserved and all that, because that's the only way we're going to get there. I mean, this completely sucks that we have two bi-coastal conferences and a conference that takes up 3/4 of the country right now. It's stupid. It's dumb. And this whole notion of 14 playoff teams is dumb as well, because nobody's thinking about the fans. They're like, well, and Mike made a good point. It's probably to incentivize winning your conference championship game. But let me throw out a scenario. So Georgia plays Alabama in the SEC championship game. Alabama wins a close game, right? And so they get the bye. And so you're walking out of stadium as an Alabama fan, and you got to book a flight to Miami or New Orleans or Dallas, all the cartel bowls. And I'm just going to start calling them the cartel bowls. That's what they are. So you're going back to Atlanta, whatever. Meanwhile, your Georgia buddies are like setting up their tailgate with the Bulldog Club for Moultrie, because by God, they're getting a home game in Athens in a couple of weeks. Which is magical for fans, which is what families – this is why this sport is popular, because families go and tailgate at the home games. That's just the bottom. I mean, so which fan base is more rewarded? Obviously, you take the championship, you take the trophy. That's a hell of a consolation prize, and it's also not a really awesome reward that you send Alabama away. You know, you end any chance of them having a home game. They aren't thinking about that. It's one more game. If they go to 16 and everything is kind of congruent. So I don't know why they're doing it like that. But, you know, that's the deal with that. So that's 14 for now. You ask about the 9-game conference schedule.
Yeah.
The answer is I don't know. The SEC a few years ago, in preparation for playoff expansion, all the schools started scheduling these blockbuster out-of-conference games. And then you have the middle of the conference, like Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Missouri just flat out schedule weird. Like I think Mississippi State's going to Pullman, Washington to play Washington State. Ole Miss is going to Cal and Wake Forest and Georgia State. Missouri's going to Northern Illinois, and Kansas and Illinois and all these. So there's a lot on the books. And I wonder, guys, if this extra playoff game, because they're going to pay about $50 million a playoff game, and the money coming in for the SEC and Big Ten will both be about $21 million per school for the expanded playoff. I wonder if that money doesn't say, hey, you're going to get this extra playoff money, you get an extra playoff game, you can stick with 8 for now, you know, and let's get some of these non-cons in that you guys have worked hard to schedule. I don't know that that's the case. Most around the league, swear to God, they're going to 9. Just looking at how they did it, so they didn't commit to a 4-year rotation with the 8, because otherwise you would have had a new set of 7 rotate on for this season. They just they just flipped them, almost like in those years when Missouri and A&M first came in the league, where it was kind of like, you know, it was different for a couple years, and then in 14 it cranked back up. So, I mean, I don't know. I can't say that, but I do wonder. Extra playoff game, the amount of money that's going to be coming in off the playoff for the SEC. I wondered if 9 games is really something that's at the forefront now, like it maybe was as far as getting that payday. I just don't know. But, you know, for fans, I guess 9 games would be good. I mean, for some fans, for most fans, they like to see their team win and go to bowls, you know, if they're not Blue Bloods. So I don't know that nine games is going to fly at Missouri because, you know, they finally get Kansas back on the schedule for the first time. They hate Kansas. They hate Illinois, and they're playing them again. Missouri, I mean, now you're going to kick those guys off, and so you can go to Arkansas or so you can go to Mississippi State. I just don't know, man. I don't know. The more this, and it's not the NIL or the portal that bothers me. It's this expansion and conference realignment stuff. I used to be very intrigued by it and like it, and I know I've kind of done a 180, but it makes my stomach churn the more I think about it.
I think it kind of signals. I mean, when you think about it, leaving the schedule as it is and just flipping the home and aways. Seems like they're just kicking the can down the road. But I think it makes it clean for any number of scenarios to play out. Like, it could be maybe not necessarily the harbinger of the nine-game schedule coming down the pike, but continued change to conference affiliations. It gives you a clean slate after the 2025 season to make any sort of adjustments to the schedules whatsoever without having any expectations of making up home, you know, matchups and things like that. So if you were looking to say, okay, this 16 league team is going to move to, you know, 20 to 24 teams, then boom, blank slate. And we can do however we want to schedule wise.
Yeah. I'm a fan of a nine game league schedule. I have been for a long time. I think it's better for the sport, JC. But I think it's better for the sport, kind of piggybacking a little bit on what you were saying, under the assumption that you get a chance to play regional football games. For instance, if they add a ninth SEC game, like let's say they added one this year, and it was Texas. I'm not so sure that I'd be in love with that because number one, you're either going to have one year, you're going to have four road games and one year you're going to have five road games. I would imagine, right? I'm assuming they would flip flop that back and forth.
Yeah, it's uneven
play. So like could you imagine if that was your draw? I mean, think about it the way that it stands this year alone. And I'll make one other point in just a minute. Or I'm sorry, not this year, in 2025. At LSU, at Ole Miss, at Missouri, at Texas A&M, there's nothing in there that's under about a 10-hour drive. And that is very, very unfortunate for South Carolina football fans. One of the things that I think if you've done it any way like I've done it over the years, or JC, like you've done it, many of you have done things like this. You know, you try to pick one road trip a year and go to it, or every couple of years, whatever it may be. But it impacts the fandom of all of these universities. It is really unique, and it's always been really unique to go to Athens, Georgia, or Gainesville, Florida, or Knoxville, Tennessee, or Lexington, or wherever it is, and see 5,000-10,000 fans who made the trip pulling for your football team. Going back to your line about, you know, let's not forget about the fans here. That's what makes college football so special. Now, if you see the Green Bay Packers show up in San Diego or in, you know, Los Angeles to play the Chargers, there's 5,000 Packers fans in the stands, it's not because they all flew in from Green Bay. That's not what happened. The NFL is different. There's just fans all over the place, and some years they put down one jersey and pick up another one. There's an attachment to these programs. These guys and gals and kids and aunts and uncles and grandparents, whatever it is, they get in their car and they drive and they set up these tailgates and they take these little road trips, and it's really unique. And, you know, so you are beginning to eliminate a lot of that. And I'm not a big fan of that. So I don't know. I mean, I would hope that the league office and elsewhere around college football, you know, if they're going to go to or stick with nine-game league schedules in whatever league that may be in, that they would find a way to regionally incentivize it as well for the fan bases, because I feel like we're losing some of that.
Yeah, play teams close. I mean, look, chances are if they went to a nine-game model, it would be a 3-6 model where you have three permanent opponents, probably South Carolina gets Georgia back, maybe Tennessee back, I don't see a scenario where they're not playing Kentucky every year. I'd take Kentucky, Vandy, and Missouri as the three, but that's just me. But it also does this. Check this out. Four blue bloods, Texas, Oklahoma, Florida, Georgia, every year will have an advantage schedule-wise because while half the league plays more road games than home games, every other year, they play 4-4-1 because they have the neutral site game. And if A&M Arkansas goes back to Dallas, that's six teams in the league that will never have to play, a 4-5 format, mm-hmm. like more road games than home games within the league, which is difficult. So I don't know. This all kind of started with me when Chip Kelly very eloquently pointed out, hey, this is stupid what we're doing. If you want to do this, that's fine. Just take your top 64 football programs, have eight divisions, two conferences, eight divisions like the NFL. You rotate your non-conference, and then you play two little guys every year, and you play the same seven teams that make sense every year. And maybe you only play 11 games in the regular season and have 16-team playoff and you're done with it. And then basketball, baseball, and everything else could go back to how it was. Because you're right. And look, I'll say this too about road crowds. Road crowds have gone – because of the way the SEC schedule was structured from 2009 to recently, where, you had South Carolina, in other words, not going to Ole Miss for, 11 years, that kind of thing. It's kind of the same old. You had really one rotating every year. The road crowds got less and less. I remember the day South Carolina got 10,000 tickets for Sanford Stadium in Athens and sold every one of them.
Right.
Now that number's around six. Carolina used to take 8 to 10 to Knoxville. That number's around five. Even Clemson is not, road tickets. I mean, it used to be about 12. Now it's like nine. And it's because people get tired of going to the same old place. Same with the bowls. I mean, you talk about the Outback Bowl, and while it's not factual to say that South Carolina's gone to the Outback Bowl every year, they have been five times since 2000. And if you think about it, that bowl for about 30 years has been SEC East mostly versus some Big Ten team. Sometimes they'll throw a West in there. I mean, how many times, how is that exciting? And even as good as the finish to 2022 was around here, had Carolina not gotten Notre Dame in the Gator Bowl, had they had to go to the Tampa and play Illinois, they would have sold half the tickets because fans do like something new. Now, I'll flip it around. Last time Carolina goes to Ole Miss in 18, there were 6,000-7,000 people out there.
Right.
Because they hadn't been in a while.
Exactly.
I'm sure there will be a great crowd in Tuscaloosa and a great crowd in Norman. So they did need to find one of the ways this helps is you do get to see different places. You're not going years without seeing different places. But that's my thing, too, like for Oregon fans and Washington fans. Oh, it's going to be great going to Iowa and Wisconsin and Michigan and places like that the first time around. You're going to book flights. Southwest is going to be full of quacking ducks. But you get about 5-6 years into that, it's going to get old quick.
Yeah. Well, I'm with you because I'm going to Norman this year. Our trip is booked and we're set to go, and I'm really looking forward to doing that. But like that's one of the things that has really been frustrating about the old scheduling model. And Ed, I saw your comment. I'll get to it in just a minute, my man. But that was one of the things that was really frustrating about the old scheduling model. And you don't have to look any further than this year and the team in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. It's been 15 years since the Gamecocks last made a trip there. That just should not happen. Like, it can't happen. But what you also don't want, though, is like what's happening in 2025, where all four opponents are 10 hours or more away from Columbia, South Carolina. But you want to keep these guys cycled through. Now, I do feel like clearly this is going to change. I don't feel like we know it's going to change. The scheduling model is going to change. This is a get me over breaking ball is what it is. It's a get me over breaking ball to get to the next pitch. And they'll get to the next pitch and they'll get it they'll get it figured out, and there will be more balance in that as far as road trips and things of that nature, because that is something, like, to your point, JC, and I agree with this. I don't want to continue to turn this into fans, but fans have built college football. That's why there was so much money in this. Fans have built college football. There's nothing like this in this country that has attended like college football. Not the NFL, not Major League Baseball, not the NBA, nothing. Nothing is attended like college football. Fans built the sport. And so they have to make sure that they don't lose that in lieu of just TV money. They're going to get their TV money no matter who they play. That's what these contracts are for. They don't look at it and go, ooh, Missouri and Vanderbilt, we're not going to pay as much for that game. It's not how this works. They're going to get their cash. So they got to be fair to the scheduling model. To Ed's point a minute ago, he asked me if I was in favor of he said, so JB, you're against schools like the Citadel getting a payday. Absolutely not. And I didn't say that. And I don't think he was trying to put words in my mouth, but I understand the question that you're asking, and you're asking that because I said I'm in favor of a 9-game league schedule. I just want to see more league games. The Big Ten already has 9 league games. I'd like to see the SEC. Nick Saban was a big proponent of this. If you did go to something like that, I don't know that this is the right move, and I'm anxious to get y'all's thoughts on this, but maybe you do shift to some sort of model that equals – you can't predict how good teams are going to be every year, but maybe you mandate that every team in your league must play a blank. Maybe that's an FCS opponent, or maybe that's a Group of Five opponent plus another Power Five opponent. I'm not sure. I'm not so sure that they're really big on that either, because I'm with you. Like, I grew up in Charleston, South Carolina, right? The Citadel, Charleston Southern. How many can we can name 100 football programs right now? Let's keep naming them if you want. Chattanooga, Western Carolina, Wofford. It doesn't matter. The only way that they succeed is by playing those money games. And if you're the Citadel, occasionally walking into Williams-Brice Stadium and embarrassing South Carolina while also taking their cash. But the point of it is, of course, you get $500,000, $1 million paydays for these things. I think, honestly, and I would hate, aside from the money, I would hate for those kids to lose the opportunity to be able to get those games. Like when those Citadel kids went to Alabama, that's a big deal for them. You know, when Samford goes in and plays Auburn, that's a big deal, right? I would hate for the kids to lose the opportunity to be able to play this game. So I don't want to see that go away. If it does go away, and we've talked about this before, JC, you might have been a part of this conversation when Darren and I were having this back on JB and Goldwater. There's got to be a way for television to be able to utilize other day parts and occasionally other days, like they do with Maction. Create a TV contract for FCS guys, something for them to own up to and be proud of, that maybe correlates with streaming. Is everybody streams now, with not only just streaming, but also with national television, and you'd be able to cut those guys a deal too. It's there, and people watch football, right? People watch football. So if you have Wofford and you have Furman on a Thursday night on ESPNU or on ESPN2 or whatever it may be, they're going to watch it. So I don't know the ins and outs, but from a financial standpoint and an opportunity standpoint, those are certainly concerns I have for the health of the overall sport of college football.
Yeah, you know, I think to make it fair, if everybody goes to 9 conference games, which you probably just need to say, look, you need to schedule one other P5. Yeah. One G5 and one FCS. And that way we keep the money. Yeah. You know, most of those FCSs are going to be in state. I mean, Alabama and Auburn can schedule Samford and North Alabama, I guess. I guess there's more Group of Fives now in Alabama with Troy and UAB and Jacksonville State now FBS. But, you know, Georgia can schedule Mercer, Kennesaw, you know, and you can keep it in your state and take care of those guys. You take care of the Group of Five that still need the payday. Most of those athletic departments do. And then for competitive reasons, you know, you schedule a Power Five. I would like to see some sort of uniformity with that, but it's going to piss people like Kentucky off because it ruins their formula.
Yeah,
the Kentucky formula is two group of fives, preferably from the MAC, an FCS at Louisville, and occasionally they'll really get ambitious and make a MAC road trip. Like they go to Akron here in a couple of years. Straight up the highway. I mean, Big Blue Nation is going to take over the Rubber Bowl or wherever the hell Akron plays. But, I don't think you should stop playing FCS schools or any of that stuff. I think that's important because of the trickle down economics of the sport. And I think it's good for those athletic parts, good for those kids to get that experience to come play in a big stadium. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I think, and those programs, those fans and alums, and, you know, many alums of those schools that are within, you know, like Furman, Wofford, they're Carolina fans or they're Clemson fans, first and foremost, you know, and they get it's kind of neat to watch your school do it. So,
but I mean, like, look, the balancing act with all that, too, because I'm with you. I've said the same thing before. I'm like, if everybody goes to 9 league games, then you mandate the schedule from there. You get a Power 5, you get an FCS. You get a G5, but you know, you might have a flex option with some of that. Like you can flex that G5 game to a P5 game if you want to, pending league approval, which they'll probably all approve it. But you got to keep the FCS to be able to allow these guys to bring some money. That's where the money comes from outside of TV. Like if these FCS leagues don't have TV contracts and they do get money from their playoff, but if they don't have TV money, we all know what's going to happen. And we've seen this. There are programs that just shut down out of the blue, D2 and D3 programs. And you don't want to see that in places like our neck of the woods, but you can name a bunch of them out there. And believe it or not, if you go to Montana State, they care about football. They care about football at North Dakota State, right? I mean, these are good football towns. But I don't want to see those kids lose the opportunity to play against the big boys. I would hate to absolutely see that, and it ruins those road trips for those parents and those families and things of that nature. So I don't know what it would be. I mean, I think about high school football too. Like, what if you had FCS Friday nights on national television? I think that'd be awesome. Of course, you know, the Big Ten is going to be playing a bunch of games on Fox and those things. We are in a betting world now. ESPN Bet does exist. So I would imagine if you're betting on Michigan and Illinois on a Friday night on Fox, you're probably pretty willing to bet on Samford and ETSU as well. But there's a lot to be considered. We're thinking about this, Phil and JC and me, and really a lot of these comments in the chat box. These are big hearted, open-minded conversations, because I think the large majority of us growing up in this teeny tiny little state of South Carolina, we see both sides of it, right? We know we get it. You've got Carolina, you've got Clemson, but we also see Furman and Wofford and the Citadel and Charleston Southern, and we see what Coastal has grown itself into, and we don't want to see any of those guys suffer. We all know somebody's played there or coached there, or we've gone to those games too. So we see it a little bit differently than the talking heads of this sport. They don't care about that crap. They care about talking points and TV dollars and whatever it is. I don't know what the solution is going to be, but these are all things that probably should be talked about in rooms with people who, you know, are credentialed to be able to talk about it. And I'm not so sure that they have all of that.
Yeah. And you know, it's also sometimes it's how good you are, you know, and how long you've been winning consistently. Alabama people, you can tell by the way they've scheduled moving forward that they got fed up. I mean, they play at Wisconsin this year. The last time, one of the final times they played one of the neutral site games, because Alabama would open on a neutral site just about every year. Saban was smart to do that. It gave him a big showcase game in a city that he usually was recruiting in. But, man, when they opened with Duke in Atlanta that year, their fans went nuts, because in years they didn't have the Iron Bowl at home. The LSU game was really the only big game. And then if they had the Iron Bowl at home and Auburn won that good and the rest of the division was bad, they didn't have any big games at home. And so you can tell how they schedule. They scheduled home and home with Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Florida State. Whew. They've really taken all comers, NC State. They got a lot of – they were like, all right, you want this? It's fun. So let's think about – and basketball scheduling is different, but let's think about Dawn Staley's group and who they play every preseason.
Right.
I mean, right. And it's because, you know, sure, they can load up on East Tennessee States and, you know, play Clemson every year.
Do you like that? Do you like – you mentioned Bama. Like, do you like that, guys? The fact that in – let me pull one here. 2028, South Carolina is going to Oklahoma State. Like, if they went to a nine-game league schedule, they also play Ohio State and UT Martin at home that year. They might try to eliminate that trip to Stillwater,
yeah.
Stillwater. Like, would that be better to see Alabama play Kentucky? Or are y'all more on the train of like, I don't know, that's a neat matchup. I wouldn't want to eliminate that.
I like the Oklahoma State thing because you're going to be able to play Kentucky with the way the new SEC schedule is going to work.
1-7.
You're going to play every school twice within 4 years. You know, you're going to play every school twice within 4 years, whether they're 8 or 9.
So to preserve that, what I'm hearing you say, then the only way to preserve, not the only way, but the best way to preserve that is stay with the eight game league schedule, mm-hmm. and then go with the mandate, guys. How about that?
FCS, well, no, yeah, that's what I think. Fletch. Yeah, you need to go ahead and mandate now. Like the league should be, and Kentucky is the prime example. Like JC said, like
they're the outlier.
The league should go in there and tell Kentucky that, listen, you need, while we're at 8, you need to play, you know, Louisville. Okay, that's a Power 5. You need to play at least one group of 5 school, and not just feast on FCS opponents.
They played math.
You're saying get one, you get an FCS team.
Yeah, you can have
you get you a G5 one, and you get a P5, then you get a flex game that can't be FCS.
I think that it would bring a lot better competition to the league, and you'd be able to sort out teams better when you play their, you know, when you're looking at their, you know, conference record, or not conference record, but overall records at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. If you mandate, you play one FCS, but then the other 3 you play need to be G5 and up.
I'd even split the G5 up. I'd put the Sun Belt and the American in one pod, and then Conference U or in the Mountain West, and then like Conference USA, WAC, MAC in the lower. Because what Kentucky does, they'll pick out the 2 crappiest MAC schools they could possibly find.
Right. Yeah.
Then either Murray State or Eastern Kentucky.
Yeah, but I mean, with all, you know, in all fairness, like, you don't know with the portal and all this crazy stuff that you don't know how good these teams are going
to be. No, I mean, I'm with you. I would like to see a mandate on Kentucky, though, that they need to play another Power 5 team besides Louisville.
If you go with the 8 and you say, it sounds like we're the ones that are making this decision, doesn't it? But for the sake of conversation, if you stay with the 8, JC, and you go with, and I've said that before too, I agree with you. I agree with what you're saying there. I don't think it's a bad thing at all, but all Power 5 or 4, whatever it ends up being, leagues have got to adjust and do the same thing. You go with the 8, and then you mandate, you got to play an FCS, you have to play a Power 5, you have to play a G5. That gives you 11, and then you've got a flex game for that 12th. It can be Power 5 or G5, but it cannot be an FCS opponent.
I think this. Why don't they do this? Since everybody else is at, like, the Big 12 and Big 10 is at 9. Why don't they come off of their 9 and you start? So in other words, so you got to play one P5 that you set up. Like, in other words, if you got a rival like Clemson and they're not in your league, then that's your P5. Or Louisville, that protects the rivalries. You play what's called, I wouldn't call it a flex, I would call it a predetermined P5, like a Big 12, Big 10 SEC challenge. And the leagues schedule those for you, and they're home and home. The Big 10 then goes back to 8. Everybody goes back to 8. And then you get a G5 and an FCS, and then everybody's schedule essentially is the same.
I don't like that. And I'll tell you why I don't like it. Because then what that does is it takes away South Carolina and North Carolina being able to play. Or South Carolina and...
Yeah. Well, if you could count on everybody else to schedule those games, I mean, yeah. If you can count on everybody else to do that. I mean, but Missouri's going to San Diego State.
And
Kentucky's not cut to Kentucky. I mean, Vanderbilt's scheduled tougher than Kentucky, guys.
Man, yeah, right. Right, yeah. That's what doesn't make any sense, because there's no – and I wonder if the college football playoff committee could actually put in some guardrails and be like, hey, you want to qualify for this expanded playoff? Then here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to play at least 8 conference games. You're going to have to play at least 1 P5 team outside of that. You're going to have to play at least this level 2 times and then only 1 FCS opponent. And I don't see where they don't have that authority if they wanted to flex like that. Now, the conferences might push back, but you know what? I don't think the conferences will push back. It'll just be the individual schools who go and you know, write in their 4 free wins and then, you know, win half their conference games and boom, look at that. You're an 8-win team.
Well,
let me just compare our brethren to the North scheduling wise. Okay.
Well, so hold on before you do that, we only got a minute left and we got to go to breaks. But before you do that, if you're South Carolina, you know, wouldn't it kind of be nice to have the cakewalk? You know, you take the 3 wins. You win. If you only win 3 in the league, you're still in a bowl.
You know, hell, dude. No, here's what I do.
It's way too hard on herself.
If Clemson joins the SEC, I'm going, all right, I'm going to play. I'm going to play Furman or SC State every year.
That's right.
Then I'm going to find the worst group of 5 team I could possibly find. You know, which, by the way, if you do that and you're Auburn, when they scheduled New Mexico State, they thought they'd be any good? No. They're like, that's the worst team we could possibly play before they hired Bull. Let's play them. That's the worst job in the country. So you never know for sure, but I find the worst team I possibly find and then a team that's just a little bit better. And then I would – just to kind of save face, I'd rotate on like a weaker ACC opponent and maybe schedule West Virginia every now and then.
Yeah. You need to start a Georgia Tech rivalry.
I'd make Georgia Tech play me at Mercedes-Benz like Notre Dame and Clemson are doing. I'd come to Columbia twice and we're going to play at Mercedes-Benz once. You know, Duke, I would buy Duke out of all the games. Wake Forest, I'd play 3-for-1.
I think,
you know.
I think, Quantrill, you and I are, we're going to start our own team because we're, I thought I heard the music, but we're overthinking this, right, Quantrill? We're overthinking this. This is very simple, guys. This is very simple. You got to win 3 league games a year, okay? If you get Vandy every year, there's 1. All right, and then you scrounge up another couple. Schedule with East State, Western Carolina, and, you know, I don't know, somebody.
Towson. don't schedule Navy or James Madison.
No, none of that.
You might
beat Clemson here and there. You got 7.
If the old Dominion game was on the road, I'd be a little scared. They've beaten Virginia Tech at home twice.
Yeah.
But no. Yeah, and if Clemson joins the league, it'll be very tempting to say, all right, our tough game every year out of conference is going to be we're going to rotate between Duke, Wake Forest, and Georgia Tech and Boston College. Every 5th year, we'll go crazy and schedule like Colorado or West Virginia. Or Northwestern. You know, something nuts like that. And then we're going to play garbage, and an in-state FCS team.
Yeah.
We're going to go on a hunt. We're going to get with Kentucky and say, hey, guys, tell us how you schedule it. Who are these teams? Is there any science to this? What you guys do?
Road trip to Newberry. There you go. A lot of conference road trip to Newberry, South Carolina. Yeah, that's off to
This guy's at Georgia State, but only so we can have that irrationally confident guy back on the show.
Yeah,
that guy was pretty confident. He was picking up. So
yeah, no, William, he, not man. They ain't scheduling the dogs. Road trip to Charleston Southern. There you go. Road trip to Charleston Southern. How about that? Piece of cake. Jimmy Buffett will take us to a break. We've still got an hour to go, and we sure hope you'll spend it with us. Inside the Gamecocks, the show built by the Barndo Co. We'll be right back.
Down here in the South, we don't always see eye to eye. While our taste in college football teams or what sauce, if any, goes best on a rack of ribs, or what to mix with our Dixie vodka might be up for debate, we can all agree there's nothing better than a Southern tailgate. And like our favorite college teams, our ingredients come from small towns and big cities. They're grown in Southern soil, are crafted by Southern hands, and proudly represent the South in our backyard and beyond. So raise a glass of Dixie Southern Vodka to celebrate being made in America and raised in the South.
It's the season of love, and there's no sweeter time and place to feel it than today at Love Chevrolet, the heart-pounding rumble of the Silverado High Country, the captivating 2024 Chevy Trax SUV, most affordable in its class. No matter what features you're looking for in a brand new Chevy, your match is waiting for you right now at Love Chevy. In this 63rd season of love, your trusted hometown Chevy dealer is proud to carry on the tradition of honesty, integrity, and treating customers like family. No fast talk, no gimmicks, no ridiculous add-on stickers. Simply the best selection of new Chevys at South Carolina's number one volume Chevy dealer right now and ready to drive home today. Don't forget about the $1,000 low price guarantee. Wow, there's a lot to love about Love Chevy. I-26 at Harbison and at lovechevy.com. Together, let's drive.
That's the power of
Hey Gamecock fans, this is Roman Kimball with South Carolina Baseball. My friends over at Electric Bikes of Charleston have the largest selection of e-bikes in South Carolina. You can cruise up to high speeds of 28 miles per hour, which is about 70 miles an hour slower than my fastball. Stay in shape and enjoy your life with an electric bike from Electric Bikes of Charleston, where buyers come from all across South Carolina. Visit electricbikescharleston.com. See you at the ballpark, and go Gamecocks.
Hey Gamecock Nation, my name is Kyle, longtime listener of the show and avid golfer. I wanted to take my game to the next level, but let's face it, golf is a hard game to learn on your own. I heard the ad from McKellar Enterprises and reached out to the owner and former Gamecock golfer, Meredith Taylor. In just 2 months of working with Meredith, I shot my lowest round ever and I've never felt more confident in my golf game. So if you're looking to take your game to the next level, go to McKellarEnterprises.org and book your lesson today with former Gamecock golfer, Meredith Taylor. Go Gamecocks.
Chicken cock originated in Kentucky, like so many other bourbons. And so the resurrection of it, you know, Paris, Kentucky, that's the county seat of Bourbon County. So much of this whiskey was being made in that Bourbon County, put on ships and barges and shipped down Ohio, down the Mississippi, and got to New Orleans where it got distributed all over the world. And people kept saying, well, hey, I want some more of that whiskey from Bourbon County. And so that's how bourbon whiskey got its name. And Chicken Cock originated actually in Paris, Kentucky, which is today Bourbon County.
Hey Gamecock fans, this is Roman Kimball with South Carolina Baseball. My friends over at Electric Bikes of Charleston have the largest selection of e-bikes in South Carolina. You can cruise up to high speeds of 28 miles per hour, which is about 70 miles an hour slower than my fastball. Stay in shape and enjoy your life with an electric bike from Electric Bikes of Charleston, where buyers come from all across South Carolina. Visit electricbikescharleston.com. See you at the ballpark and go Gamecocks.
Building your dream home is often just that, a dream, and sometimes a nightmare. But at the Barndo Company, they commit to quality and build without sacrifice. Customization, open floor plans, limitless flooring options, maintenance-free and easy insulation perks, and affordability are just a few reasons why they've been named one of the best builders in the U.S. Believe in your dreams. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com. The Barndo Company. Gamecock owned. Gamecock operated.
The preferred sign partner of Gamecock Athletics is Signorama Columbia, and they should be yours too. A full-service sign company that handles design, production, install, and service, Signorama Columbia has helped to bring to life the perfect vision for so many all across South Carolina. Owned and operated by proud Gamecock alumni, they can handle all types of signage, including interior and exterior, vehicle graphics, and more. Go to Signorama.com and find the West Columbia location or call them at 803-407-9284. Bring your brand to life with Signorama Columbia, and go Gamecocks.
Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
With a little love and some tenderness, we'll walk upon the water, we'll rise above the mist. With a little peace and some harmony, we'll take the world together, we'll take them by the hand.
It is 105. Final hour inside the Gamecocks, the show. Welcome back. Welcome tomorrow, Stuart Lake and Derek Scott. They'll hit the road Thursday morning for T-Town to call the series between the Crimson Tide and the South Carolina Gamecocks in Tuscaloosa. Both will join us tomorrow. Derek will join us later in the program and be able to recap a lot of the season for South Carolina basketball. Anxious to get his thoughts as well on Michi Johnson's future and the Gamecocks' future without Michi Johnson. And then also get some quick snippets of the matchup between the Tide and Carolina this weekend at Thomas Sewell Stadium in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Matt Anderson will be along tomorrow as well. Thursday, we'll be joined by Mike Morgan. We'll also have our friend John Strickland in here on Thursday to talk some Carolina football. Resto Pros of the Midlands presents the final hour of our program and our coverage of Gamecock baseball. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. I hope that none of you ever have to utilize their services, but unfortunately, people do. If you've had fire damage or smoke damage, water damage, wind damage, hail damage, you know, whatever it is, if you've had damage, your home, your office building. Jeff Sturgis, he's a Gamecock. So, guys, remember that. You know, this is Gamecock-owned, Gamecock-operated. They help you through the insurance process. Maybe you know somebody that needs help right now. Kindly recommend Jeff Sturgis and his team at Resto Pros of the Midlands, RestoProsMidlandsSC.com, presenting our coverage of Carolina baseball in the final hour of our program. Again, tonight, it's a 6:30 first pitch. The 11-13 Blue Hose in town, and from time to time they will they'll bring some ball with them and give Carolina some fits. We'll see if South Carolina can get through that and continue this winning streak that right now stands at 5 after the sweep over the Commodores this past weekend. It is once again Eddie Copper on the mound, and Tristan McGregor will get the ball for PC. This is where Chris Veach transferred from. So he gets to see his former school as well. Carolina, in case you missed this neat little nugget, over the third-ranked team in the country, They outscored them 26-9 this past weekend. 26-9. So pretty sensational stuff there. I'll give you a couple other games to keep an eye on if you're a fan of college baseball a little bit later in the program. Nice night for college baseball across the country. The weather, Clint, is good. The weather is good. They'll be able to play. So if you're headed out there, enjoy. All right. Also on that note. Hold on. Let me get this right because I just got it in my inbox. So let me make sure I got it right here. This is very important information. In addition to the fact that you can eat Billy G's Carolina barbecue. Oh yeah. Here you go. All right. 50% off all beers and seltzers, but that deal ends 15 minutes before first pitch. So by 6:15, you and your buddies get in there and buy a couple of these things. You get 50% off. So basically, it's buy one, get one if you buy four of them. And you can do that and then enjoy some Billy G's Carolina barbecue, and you'll be well on your way to watching the Gamecocks play. All right, some news from Shane Beamer's press conference today. It looks like Juju McDowell will be out the rest of the spring. Juju has got a little bit of a collarbone issue. He's going to have some surgery on it, and Shane said that he will be good to go by summer and right back in there and ready to roll for the fall. That's really the only significant news that came out. But, JC, we did talk some football earlier. Had a great conversation with Hale about both lines of scrimmage. One of the things that is kind of emerging more and more, and I mentioned earlier that I talked to Strick this morning on the phone for a little while, and he'll join us on Thursday, and he's heard the same thing. He's spent some time at practice. I think he might actually try to get out there Thursday morning as well and watch them before he gets on the air with us. This group of wide receivers is starting to catch the eyes of some folks, and that includes the coach, Mike Fury, but the talent that they've brought in certainly isn't going to remind anybody of the size of Nick Harbor or Xavier Leggett or something like that. But if you go back to kind of the end of Coach Spurrier's career, that 2014 team, they had a bunch of little dudes out there that could boogie around between about 5'10 and 6 foot, 6'1. And they've once again got that. They feel like, I'm not saying that these guys are any of those guys, JC, but what if you continued to hear from this group? I know Gage Larvadan's name comes up when you ask about it. He's been a pretty popular pick to be potentially a little bit of a breakout guy this year, but the others seem to be performing well in addition to him.
Yeah. First of all, Juju McDowell, Craig, don't are any of you out there that want to do this? Don't count him out. That kid's made too many plays for too many years for this offense. He may not get a bunch of snaps, but when he gets the ball, he's made a lot of plays. Don't just assume that because they're shorter receivers, all of a sudden that you call receivers that they're not going to use Juju McDowell. They'd be stupid not to. I mean, the guy's a proven playmaker in the SEC. It's things like that. Yeah, anyway. But I'm not mad at you, Craig. I'm done being mad for the day. But, yeah, Gage Larvadane's the name I've heard a lot about. You know, Jared Brown certainly has potential. Tyshawn Russell has potential. Kelton Henderson was a guy they were high on coming in. They're all kind of similar. Amari Bruce Huggins from Louisville. If they can get his average year at Louisville, he can be a fourth or fifth guy. I think Luke Doty's got a shot to start. If he continues to improve at the position, he was lost at times last year, but at times looked pretty good. I do think they still need to get two bigger guys out of the portal in the spring, and that is the plan to try to find two guys. But the question becomes, is that a luxury item that you're looking for, or is that a necessity? I think it's more one of those things. In an ideal world, you'd have these various types of receivers. I don't think you necessarily need versatility to have a good core as long as you have guys that can play. And I'm always one, given the history around here, that's never going to go with size over speed at receiver. There's been two receivers coaches here that have done that consistently on the recruiting trail that have run the room into the ground by the time they were done. I mean, they're either chasing the next Alshon Jeffrey or chasing the next Deebo Samuel. You know, and both those guys are abnormal size, abnormal ability for their size. Those guys are the exception, not the rule. Now, look, you find a T. Higgins or guys like that, great. You know, they're tall, too. You know, Mike Williams, guys like that, super. But when you're constantly, you know, just going off the eyeball test, it's kind of like when, you know, you go around and look for somebody who looks like this girl, and so you kind of play you know, the butterfly effect or whatever. I think that gets you in trouble. And Brian McClendon did it trying to find a Debo. So he signed these guys that look like running backs that ran like running backs because they weren't, you know, Debo's got rare elite speed for a guy that's built like him. And Junior tried to find Alshon, and there's only one Alshon, dude. I mean, there's only one guy that's in the history of the game that looks like Alshon, that runs like Alshon, that is Alshon. That's mm-hmm. that good. Yeah, he's unique. I mean, they're unicorns. So, if you ask me, I'd rather have three or four guys that can play rather than worry about what they look like. And so one of the best receiving corps here through that period, you had Ace Sanders, Bruce Ellington, Pharaoh Cooper, Nick Jones, Demir Bird. They were all the same guy, Pharaoh, you know. And you did have bigger targets. I'm not going to mention D.L. Moore as one of those because he should have never been playing over Nick Jones. But there's my example, right?
But you had
Busta Anderson.
Yeah, I was going to say,
6'4" tight end. You had the tight ends that could go do things like that. And
Busta had 11 catches in his career and 10 touchdowns.
I remember Demir Bird out jumping the dang Georgia Bakari Rambo, and in that 2012 game, little Bird jumped up and took it away from him. So you know, it's just one of those things. And Craig, the SC State 6'4" receiver, I think, ended up just declaring. I think he just stayed. But
well, they certainly, you know, need a guy who can high point the football. They hope that's Nick Harbor. There's no doubt about that. But this group collectively is pretty good. Yeah. And I love Shane's. I love this quote, and you hear it from guys who are good coaches when they were talking about the wide receiver room. We will be creative with our personnel. Great, you know, because you don't want to put the square peg in the round hole, and it sounds like they're trying to figure out a plan to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, look, Shai Smith was great at the high point in the football. Shai Smith's 5'11".
Yep.
You know, I mean, you've got guys that, I mean, all those LSU receivers from the Joe Burrow year, I mean, any of those guys 6'5", 6'6"? No. Randy Moss's kid was. He was the tight end. But yeah. Thaddeus, NC State transfer, amazingly enough. But I think, listen, if you can go get a guy that's 6'3 and a half, 6'4", that's proven, that's caught a bunch of passes in his career, that can come out and fill that void for you, certainly go get him. But look, man, I'd almost put Josh Simon out there in some spots because you have Brady Hunt.
He's
and other
going
tight
to
ends.
There some spots.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, don't forget this name either. Don't forget Michael Smith, who's coming in.
Yeah.
Same guy, 6'3", 225, 230. Michael Smith could play wide receiver. If it comes to that and you're like, man, you know what this is? This team's just missing that guy. If they just had that guy, everything would be fine. Well, then you just move Michael Smith from tight end, and because he's probably the fourth or fifth tight end anyway, and you just put him at receiver for a year. I'll be honest with you guys. And so everybody that accused me of being like super rosy about everything all the time, I'm not. I just don't sit there and tell you when guys are struggling at practice because, number one, a lot of people can't handle it. And the next thing you know, the guy will get better because it's practice and practice is for practicing and you improve. And you're sitting here in June talking crap about the guy on Twitter. And I'm not saying all of you, and I'm not going to have that. It's my job to protect these guys in some ways. But for those of you that say I'm always rosy, I'll be honest. I do not think Nick Harbor is going to make a huge jump between this year and next year. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is no fault of his own. It's because you got the track thing and the Olympic thing, and you can't, you know, he's got to go chase that. You know, it's the United States Olympics. It's representing our country. You can't say, oh, well, you need to be playing football and to hell with your dreams. Why would you do that to the kid? You wouldn't. But I do think that the facts are, the less time you spend on football, the slower you develop. That's just how it is. So that's the bottom line with him. Do I expect him to maybe go out and play sort of like he was doing right before A&M, where I'm convinced he hit a wall after that game, a freshman wall that happens? Yeah, I think he can go out and get you between 3 and 6 catches a game. I don't expect him to be a superstar this year, and nor do I expect – and I think the wrong take on that's going to be this kid's a bust, because you have to understand that getting him to where he needs to be at receiver is going to take reps and practice and reps and practice and reps. And he works hard when he's there, right? He works hard when he's there. But when you're not there, when you're just running track, it is just naturally going to put you behind. That's the bottom. That's the fact of life. And so I do not expect that guy to be this year Nick Harbor. Now, do I hope he's some sort of super freaky fast learner that the light comes on and he's Randy Moss this year? Yeah, we'll be doing a lot of high-fiving and celebrating if that's the case, fellas, because the Gamecocks are going to win a lot of games. But I can't sit here and honestly tell you guys that just based on how football development and evaluation goes and basing it on where he's at now versus where he needs to be, that kind of thing. So there you go.
What do you feel like the hope is around the program that they'll be able to redshirt Harbor this year?
I don't have any plans to do that.
Yeah, no.
He'll play.
I mean, you play him on special teams. Let him go block kicks.
I think Nick, I mean, this is probably going to sound like the duh, but as the year goes along, Nick Harbor's role it's probably going to be a little bit similar to last year. Like, you're going to see his role increase. I mean, he's not just breaking into college football. That's not going to be a part of it. But I think, JC, to piggyback on what you're saying, one of the things that's really going to be an issue for him when he gets full time back to football, the question is, how quickly can he get caught up to speed? And has he been passed by other guys? And how wide is that gap? I mean, he's going to play. We all know he's going to play. But is he going to be able to close that gap quickly enough? I think as time goes on, he will, because we did see a difference at the end of the year from the beginning of the year. And I think as the year goes along, he's going to become more and more important to this team. I will say this. I mean, Mike Fury and Dowell Loggins and whoever, John Elliott or insert coach A, B, C, all of them, it probably would do them some good to have a guy who's 6'5" who can go catch it for a freshman quarterback. I mean, that, you know, it's nice to have a safety valve out there. Like, okay, well, I'll just throw it up, and if anybody will catch it, it's him. And if it's not him, nobody's going to catch it. So we'll see. But I JC, I think I'm with you. I don't think that jump's going to be there when you open the season. But I think as the year goes along, I do think he's got an opportunity to make significant strides and be able to impact the offense.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm not giving up on him. Clint asked if he would be better suited to play DN just based on track. No. And look, I know a lot of people out there like DN. A lot of people said that about Jarrell Adams too. And the bottom line is, the folks that knew football better than we did, because I think I was one of them at the beginning, said he just doesn't have the defensive mentality, and he doesn't. Jarrell Adams' defensive film in high school was awesome. I mean, you saw the potential there, and God knows they could have used him, because you had Anderson at tight end. You had some tight ends. You had Hayden Hurst. Jarrell could have been used as the next big DN, but he just didn't have the mentality. So people need to stop talking about that, because it's ridiculous. I mean, I know some people say, well, they saw him and he's bigger than this and bigger, and there's no reason. And, you know, well, whatever, there's a reason you're not coaching, you know, because there's more to it. It's mentality, right? And I'm sick of stuff like that comes out in some of these things that I know you guys participate in that are just propaganda and one person's very skewed, wrong opinion. All that does is hurt the program, you know. So I think, you know, I get it. You know, it's tempting when you look at him, but that's the eyeball test. The eyeball test is not football. And he does not have the defensive mentality. He's offense or bust. Mm-hmm. And so the question becomes, how long is it going to take him to get up to speed on offense? Now, I think last year, you know, he did hit the wall at the end, but he progressed and he did not, you know, I kind of expected him to drop more passes, guys. He didn't really drop anything. He dropped one in the A&M game early, came back to have his best game and caught everything, and then hit the wall, like we said, never was the, you know, never really was the same. Yeah. But you just,
and that was forced. I mean, he had to go in. I mean, you know, that kind of pressure doesn't always yield a decent result.
Yeah, I mean, they threw him out there, threw the wolves, and you know, he had several nice where he adjusted on the ball, and I mean, he was about to get knocked out, but he cradled it pretty good. I mean, there wasn't a lot of opportunity for him to catch and run, but I think if he could just get to that point he was against A&M, where he looked comfortable, he was in sync, and then go from there. You know, get to where you were then by the opener and then gradually progress. You know, it's that. But, yeah, Clint, I mean, I agree his defensive end film looked really good in high school, and it's tempting. But like I said, so did Jarrell Adams. Yeah. And believe me, I was sitting there wanting to move Jarrell Adams for a little while too and just was flat out told he cannot do it, does not have the mentality. And that's the case. But we'll see what happens.
To squash that bug, the staff is not moving him to defensive end. They've told him that he ain't going to defensive end. He's wide receiver at South Carolina. That's it. There's nothing else to talk about. I mean, that conversation.
And he wouldn't. Yeah, I mean, he'd
over have for to, a year.
He'd also have to put on 20-something pounds to do it.
Yeah, they're not doing
at a high level to get blocked. I mean, you know, now look. Can he maybe go in and block kicks? That's well, a little bit different. Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm not maybe not a punt, maybe a field goal. I don't know.
Yeah, but that's not being a defensive end.
It's not a defensive end.
That's playing special teams. It's entirely different.
But, you know, I'll tell you this, South Carolina's got an elite defensive end from Washington, D.C.
Yeah, that's right.
Already. Yeah. Right. This guy, I mean, this guy's going to be – I think everybody's going to be happy watching him play. Just give him a little time. Not as much time as Nick either. Just give him a couple games and this dude here. Yeah, oh yeah. No doubt. Oh yeah. Umiazulu. Yeah. He's from Maryland area. And I think, look, that's going to be an interesting spot, guys. Edge. Mm-hmm. Think about it.
That's right. Yep.
You got Stewart. You got Umiazulu. You've got the kid from Georgia Tech, Kennard, who they love, who they had higher than the 5-star kid from A&M Overton on their board. You've got, you know, who else? Oh, JT Gear, who's 6'6", 262. The kid from Belton that came from Syracuse that was hurt all year last year. You have Elijah Davis, who is now a defensive end full-time. And you still got guys like Byron Thomas Jr., who were, you know, the role players and stuff. You know, plus a bunch of linebackers like Bam Martin Scott that can rush.
Yeah, you got more athletic at linebacker over the offseason, too, so that gives you options. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so you've got some options, you know. I think Gear is one that intrigues me just because you can't coach 6'6", 262. And toward the end of the year at Syracuse, before he transferred, he was killing people, and then he was killing it in practice, and then he got a freaking fracture in his foot. Where have you heard this before? And was never the same. Yeah, oh. I don't know what about feet around here. We just need to stop. Maybe wear some big foam shoes with these scrimmage or something. I don't know. But he's healed up now. Yeah, he's a South Carolina defensive lineman, man. Don't bet against those guys. And then, like I said, Kennard was a big play guy at Georgia Tech, who they evaluated before everybody out of the goal. Quantrill says, is he Chris Jones reincarnated? No. Yeah, I got a story about Chris Jones, man. You know, nobody had him ranked until Jerry Hamilton and I evaluated him at 24/7 and put him as 5 stars. I was thinking that may be the greatest call of all time that we did. Because that was the year Hugh Freeze had that big class at Mississippi. And Jones, nobody knew him. He's committed to Mississippi State. So we evaluated him, put him in the top 10 in the country. And then Ole Miss decided they want him. And so he spent all of recruiting, like down the stretch in January, driving back and forth between Oxford and Starkville, picking up bags. And then finally, this linebacker, is a linebacker's name. At the end, decommits from Ole Miss, comes to Mississippi State, and then turns in Ole Miss for cheating. Knowing what all was going on during that time in that state, I call it the great Mississippi recruit off of 2014. It was unbelievable, guys. I mean, you would not have believed that point. But kudos to Jerry for finding that guy, because he's still, obviously one of the best players in the NFL. But, I don't know. So, yeah, the mystery DN, I don't want to talk about him. He's probably going to be the eighth defensive tackle right. This year.
Yeah. It's 128. We got.
I know. I'm sorry. You got me talking football. You got me talking football.
We'll be right back.
I said, "Oh Lord Jesus, it's a fire! Ain't nobody got time for that."
Disaster comes uninformed. During and after natural disasters or accidents, there can be a heavy loss to property. Having your home or office destroyed or damaged by water, fire, smoke, or mold affects your personal and business lifestyle. Resto Pros of the Midlands is here to help. Open 24/7. Call them when you need them. 803-493-0170. Resto Pros of the Midlands. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Quality that is guaranteed.
Down here in the South, we don't always see eye to eye. While our taste in college football teams, or what sauce, if any, goes best on a rack of ribs, or what to mix with our Dixie vodka might be up for debate, we can all agree there's nothing better than a Southern tailgate. And like our favorite college teams, our ingredients come from small towns and big cities. They're grown in Southern soil, are crafted by Southern hands, and proudly represent the South in our backyard and beyond. So raise a glass of Dixie Southern Vodka to celebrate being made in America and raised in the South.
Welcome home. That's what the Gamecocks say. And so does the Barn Dough Company, where they can build your dream home starting as low as $160 per square foot. If you live in the Carolinas, Georgia, or Tennessee, their turnkey process takes just 4 to 6 months on average and can be custom designed by size and details. Make your dream a reality. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com. The Barn Dough Company. Gamecock. Owned and operated.
When you're a developmental program, which all Group of Five schools are, and you lose a great player, that's going to hit you much harder with that next guy plugging in, because he's not there yet. He may be there. He's just not there right now.
I just recently reported about, the heart issue that, ultimately let a Big Ten stop, and originally decided not to play football. And we had reported out that story, kind of unearthing that it was because of the heart issue, potentially with
is that myocarditis?
Myocarditis.
I still had 10 scholarship offers because Chase would go play baseball and I would get a lion's share of the reps in the spring, and they're like, who's this number 17? He's pretty good.
Listen to these interviews and more on the JC and Morgan podcast by downloading the Chief Sports app. Part of the Chief Sports Network.
Gamecock Traditions, South Carolina's elite retailer for anything Gamecock related. The best selection for basketball, baseball, football, tailgating, kids stuff, and everything else. If it's got the Gamecock logo, it's gotta be at Gamecock Traditions. Most importantly, they ship it to your doorstep. Order online at GamecockTraditions.com, where there's always a sale. Gamecock Traditions, GamecockTraditions.com, a tradition unlike the others.
So he comes over to me and he says, listen to me, I don't want to hear one more word out of you about my refereeing today. You say one more word about my refereeing, then you're going to be thrown out of this game. And so I turned around to all my parents. I go, hey, parents, I'm not allowed to tell the ref how bad he is, so I'm going to need you to do that for me.
Oh.
He said, you're
gone. I'm a beggar who could use some help. I'm a seeker searching for myself. I'm a rolling stone just waiting on a friend. I'm a lover wishing on a star for another, with a broken heart to hold each other close till the end.
Nana's Porch, nanasporch.com. At Nana's Porch, they cater weddings, parties, and all kinds of special events. Their meals are served buffet style, and seconds, they're encouraged.
Plus, they can bring their mobile food unit to bring on-site and serve your guests as a unique alternative for your catering needs. Inquire about rentals as well. NanasPorch.com. Find them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. 336-259-7550.
Tony Pope State Farm is your go-to agent anywhere in South Carolina, North Carolina, or Georgia for the service you deserve at the price you want. So try combining your home, life, auto, and or small business insurance today. Tony Pope State Farm has been in business for more than 30 years and can handle anything you need in the tri-state area. 843-851-2222 or visit TonyPope.com today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
It's 1:35. Welcome back inside the Gamecocks, the show built by the Barn Dominium Company, the Barn Doco, and always served by Chicken Cock. I was awake about 5:30 this morning. I think just couldn't sleep. Have some, just a lot going on, and cut on the TV, and wow, just crazy to see what's happened up in Baltimore. And that, first of all, to all the families that affected, man, you know, prayers from our, from down south up there to Baltimore, Maryland. And then also buckle up, because one of the largest ports is now inaccessible on the East Coast, and that's going to be a problem for commerce, not to mention the traffic up there. Anything with a 95 attached to it is going to cause traffic problems, and I think it was 695 that went down the Francis Scott Key Bridge. So, buckle up, because you're about to see the ripple effects of this across the country with the amount of product that is moved in and out of that port, and they're not going to be able to use it for a while. So that sucks, man. But thoughts with them, no doubt. Some news from college basketball, real quick to squeeze in. Boy, this is JC's guy. This would be devastating to the Schubert family, because they're huge New Mexico fans. But Richard Pitino has emerged as a top candidate at Louisville.
Richard Pitino, baby, he's unbelievable. He's coming back to Louisville, where his old man used to rump up and down the sidelines. Oh. Man. Forgive and forget, baby.
Yeah, this is.
It didn't matter what Big Rick did at the Italian restaurant, baby. He's unbelievable. Man. Final Four for the Cardinals. Did he come?
I think too. So they've got some really, really interesting candidates here. If I don't know if anybody's seen that. I mean, Louisville is a sleeping giant. We know what they're capable of being there. But in addition to Richard Pitino, which, boy, that would be interesting. They did also target Scott Drew, and he said no, he's going to stay in Baylor. They went after Dusty May down at Florida Atlantic. He took the Michigan job, which that was interesting in itself. Josh Schertz from Indiana State is in the mix. Pat Kelsey is in the mix right here at the College of Charleston. And then how about Seton Hall's Shaheen Holloway? Shaheen Holloway burst onto the scene in 22 when he took St. Peter's to the Elite Eight at 22-12. Seton Hall went to the NIT this year. They felt like they had an argument for being in March Madness. They did not get in, but that record also at 22-12. So those are appear to be the top candidates for this Louisville job, and see where it goes from there.
I think Louisville's a great job. They hired the wrong guy in Kenny Payne. I think they got nostalgic, and he was so far in over his head to be a head coach at that school. It wasn't, and it's crazy. He felt bad for him because it was alma mater, but he was just terrible. There's no other way to spin it. Richard Pitino would be very interesting for that gig. Just very, very interesting. You know, Shaheen Holloway, I remember when he played. He's a great player for Seton Hall. And the St. Peter's run certainly was good. Seton Hall should have been in the tournament this year. All those Big East teams that got left out, I think, you know, there were five stolen bids, guys. Gamecock fans, Oregon was one of them. So, go figure. Kind of had the tournament this year, which is unprecedented. It normally doesn't happen. Otherwise, those teams would have been in. But I do think that name is an interesting name to watch when it comes to that. That's I guess so. They brought their guy for football home, Brom. So you bring a Pitino back. I don't know, man. You're getting the band back together up at the Ville. That's a hell of a job that people don't understand. That's the Auburn football of college basketball, but more consistent. I mean, they got a great arena. They got a great city. They got great fan support. They've won national championships. They've been a model of consistency up until after Pitino left, really. And they had the Chris Mack era did not work out. And then they went Payne, and it bottomed out. But, you know, you had Denny Crum there for how many decades? Remember Nervous Purvis Ellison in the 80s won the national championship. And then Carolina played him every year in the Metro Conference. And then, you know, you had Rick Pitino take over. And he was there 17 years. I mean, that was – and won two. So, wow. You know, that would be something if a Pitino comes back. But that's a really good job. Yeah, people are going to ask about why would you take Michigan – people don't realize this. Michigan's been to a bunch of Final Fours. They played for two national championships since 2013 under John Beilein. Multiple coaches have had big success there. Steve Fisher, John Beilein, whoever. Juwan Howard was doing it. He had it going a little bit, and then, I don't know, it just fell apart. But, you know, then you got to battle Michigan State in that state too. But, that's a great program and obviously a ton of resources at University of Michigan and a great basketball location. So I don't know, man. It's interesting. It's I think Kentucky's going to stick with Cal. But the names for that job certainly were, I don't want to say arrogant, but Brad Stevens, Jay Wright, Billy Donovan.
I mean, it was a veritable who's who that they were, supposedly looking at or whatever.
They've got that all wrong, man. Those guys don't have anything to prove. Like, they don't need Kentucky. You know what I mean? No. Like, they don't need that. And obviously, Coach Cal isn't going anywhere. But I mean,
Jay
Wright. You mean Jay Wright, who's got this cozy multi-million-dollar gig on TV, would leave to go to the hottest pressure cooker in college basketball? Are you serious? Like
Rick Pitino said, it was the Roman Empire of college basketball.
Jay Wright ain't taking that job. Like, why? Why would he?
And Donovan is just basically a little above average NBA coach. It's weird. No interest. I mean, to me, I don't know, man.
Why would you?
Well, if I'm Billy Donovan to win a championship.
Yeah. So what? Mm-hmm. Why would you want all that pressure up there? I mean,
coach 32 games instead of 82.
But you have to do this every year at Kentucky, this recruiting your own roster over and over and over and over
again.
The only reason you take a gig like that, the only reason, and again, this is all hypotheticals. It doesn't matter. They're not firing Cal apart. The only way you do it, give me a Cal's contract. What? Yep. I want the lifetime $100 million deal. Give me one of them things. You do it, I got it. I'm in. I'm fully guaranteed. Sure, why not? I'll take
that's why you need – all right, so you need a guy who's like where Cal was at Memphis, right? So a guy that hasn't gotten over the hump yet basically because of the jobs he's been in. That's why Bruce Pearl being mentioned for that job is interesting. If you're Bruce Pearl, Yeah, you took Auburn to the Final Four. You had Tennessee rolling. Probably was a matter of time before you took them to the Final Four when you were coaching there. You had a good run at UW-Milwaukee. Took them to the tournament, won some games. But are you ever going to win it all at Auburn? I mean, barring maybe 1 year, but could you maybe go to Kentucky and spend 10 years with as good of a recruiter as you are, as good of a relationship person as you are, as a likable guy? For most people like Bruce Pearl. A lot of people, some people don't. You got NIL backing up there, money backing you up there. The stuff you used to do that was illegal is no longer illegal. Would you take it and say, all right, this is my – I'm going to go win a national championship? They say Bruce Pearl will take Indiana in a heartbeat. I think Indiana's dysfunctional as far as who they end up hiring. I think they got their Kenny Payne right now. But I think a guy like that, sitting where Cal was sitting at a good job, not a great job, not a job that will necessarily get him over the hump, that has that missing piece of his resume. Billy Donovan's already won. Billy Donovan dominated college basketball for two straight years. I mean, yeah, Jay Wright left on top. Villanova was the best program in the country consistently for 5 years.
Wright got out of it for a reason. It's only gotten worse since he got
out. You may as well call Coach K. See if he wants to come take it. Mm-hmm. You know, go get Patino back from St. John's. Let him finish it out there. So, but no, I don't know. I think if Sonder mentions to be a head coach, you have to be somewhat of a narcissist, and it invalidates logical thinking. Yeah, I know. But I think a guy like where Bruce Pearl said, Eric Musselman's a guy they talked about, Nate Oates, who a lot of people think is, you know, a guy that's good enough to go take that next step to a quote unquote top five type of job from Alabama. But his buyout's like, could you imagine Kentucky firing Cal for $33 million and then paying like $20 million to buy out Nate Oates?
Get Nate Oates, yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, one of those horse farm guys could write a check tomorrow.
Sure. But they're not gonna do it.
I don't do it. So that's a moot point, but anyway.
I mean, if they can write a check tomorrow, you're going to get the same argument up there that you're going to get down here every time something like this happens.
We'll just put it in NIL. Let's just go buy the players.
Well, that's what they've been doing. It ain't working. So, I mean, it's
– yeah, they buy the wrong guys, you know, by the way. By the way, I need to – Cat Daddy, I do need to admit to something. I did say that about Drew Tuizama, so those of you defending me, don't defend me anymore. I said I thought he would be more productive than Birch. Based on the fact Jordan Birch was not that productive of a player and really was not that productive of a player at Oregon this year, I thought this guy would come in, and quite frankly, a lot of the people did too. He came in. He didn't really want to work that hard, wasn't in all that great of a shape. The season had just started. He got behind and got moved inside, and that's the last we've heard of him. So maybe – I mean, I don't know. About moving him inside kind of blows me away. And I'm talking about Tuizama now. So that – and I got on here on an episode one day. You can go back and watch it and admit it. I was wrong. I admitted I was wrong. We had a whole – I talked 30 minutes about it. So I'll admit that. I admit that. And
keep him in there.
You're always going to get it straight from me. So
I want to see if that's real or not. Because if it is, then I like this guy.
Nicola.
If it, don't boot him out. Let's it. Nicola, are you real or are you trying to take our money? Because if you are – you need to call Quantrell. He's rich. See him right there underneath you. Quantrell knows in the chat box. Billionaire.
He's trying to give us money. A lot of these people they try to give us money. This is not from Facebook, though. So
no.
Yeah, this guy might be real.
American football isn't really popular here, but it's really improving. I think I will follow NFL from the
for
next season.
Hey, Eastern Europeans would actually be really good at American football.
See?
Yeah. All right. Like Serbians and Russians are fast.
Nicola, do you need our social security numbers to wire over $1 million? Do we pay you $5,000 and you give us $1 million? I'm just kidding.
How does this work?
Greedy. Cards? Nah, I mean, think about how good Eastern Europeans are in basketball, how athletic those guys are, and how much they can shoot.
Yeah.
And think about how I don't want to say violent, but how much they like aggressive things in Eastern Europe. American football would be the perfect sport to introduce over there.
Well, think about the success rate of your, Middle America itch, vitch, and skis that come through here.
Well, that's
all come from that.
My itch, vitch, and ski philosophy works.
That's right.
Because I'll tell you, if you recruit Ohio, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, all the way through Illinois up into Chicago, and you got an offensive lineman, his last name ends in an itch, vitch, or ski, that dude can ball. I promise you.
Round NFL,
you don't want to F with him.
Look at it.
Don't F with him ever. He's probably got like razor wire tattoo bands on his guns, like Tony Mandarich. Remember him? Yeah. He was a D-line. Itch, vitch, or ski. So yeah, Nicola, root for the South Carolina Gamecocks, and
glad to have
Fighting Rooster. But glad to have you. Always nice to have. Also,
love our international
audience. We love them.
We love our international audience. There's no doubt. All right, it's 1:48. We've got to hit our final time out of the afternoon. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.
Touchdown Brewer. Set up the screen, and it goes to Brewer. 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown Brewer, his second of the day. Pitches it to Brewer, turns to Cody, touchdown number 3 of the afternoon.
Hey folks, it's Mike Morgan for Ryan Brewer Fence. That's right, you know the former Gamecock legend as a terrific college football player. Well, I know him as that too. I also know him as the guy that runs a great business, one of the best businesses in South Carolina. How do I know that? Well, for one, I'm actually a client of Ryan's. I had my home in Columbia done years ago, and his crew did an outstanding job, just as he does for everybody else. Whether you're in the market for a fence, railings, columns, or anything in between, their craftsmanship, their experience, and service, second to none. Ryan Brewer Fence has over 15 years of experience with consultation and installation of residential and commercial fencing and railings. Rest assured, your job will be done with an unparalleled level of expertise, and it's done on time, and they do it right the first time. Again, you're not going to do any better than Ryan Brewer. Ryan Brewer Fence. The website is ryanbrewer.net. Set up an appointment today. Tell them Mike sent you.
My company is Billy G's Carolina Barbecue. We are based in Columbia, South Carolina, and we have two lines of sauces and a spice rub. I mean, when people try our product, they know it's a gourmet product, and it can go on any type of food. It's not surprisingly delicious. It's expectedly delicious.
Oh, man. The building is on fire.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you, guiding you through the process and working with you to get your home or office back in working order. They'll answer your questions, discuss procedures, and can act as your advocate when it comes to processing your insurance claim. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.
Final segment on a Tuesday afternoon, 6:30. First pitch tonight for the Gamecocks. Derek Scott, Stuart Lake on the call. 6:15 airtime on the Gamecock Sports Network. Dave and Kip will have it. Oh, no, wait a second. Dave and... oh, that's right. I knew I saw that. It's his debut. Grayson Griner, our friend Grayson Griner, will be on the call tonight with Dave Weinstein. Whoa. On the SEC Network Plus. I'll have to shoot old GG a text here in just a minute and give him some tips. You know, throw him a little jab, Phil. Bam, bam. You know what I mean? You got to get in, you got to get out. You know, don't talk about yourself. Get in there, get out. Get in, get out. So hats off to very, very, very tall and very handsome Grayson Griner, who joins us often, and we'll have him back here soon, as a matter of fact, to talk some Gamecock baseball. A couple of quick things to pass along here from the wide world of sports. We are under about 48 hours away from first pitches being thrown in Major League Baseball, man. Go ahead and get this out of the way here for all you losers that pull for somebody other than the Braves. It's going to really suck for you this year because Braves are going to win the World Series again. So there you go. All you non-Braves fans, losers. Braves fans, winners. Also, Adam Schefter reporting that this year Christmas is on a Wednesday. And you might be wondering, well, what the hell does that have to do with anything?
Thanks.
Well, I'll tell you what the hell. I'll tell you what he was thinking. I don't know what the hell he was thinking. No, because they will play a doubleheader NFL, two games on a Wednesday this year for Christmas. So
good.
If you're making it's, let's see, I think I saw it this morning on Twitter. I think we're 274 days away from Christmas. So if you're starting to make your plans, we have a schedule on that pretty soon. Or the Christmas double.
No need for the NBA to continue to take the Christmas spotlight.
No, nobody watches the NBA. The ratings are proving that pretty quickly. Some interesting college baseball being played. 4 o'clock. Campbell is on the road in Durham at 11th ranked Duke. Careful here, Wake Forest. The careful games are tonight. Ooh, watch out. 12th ranked Wake on the road in Lynchburg to take on the Liberty Flames. Watch out there. Coastal's at Clemson tonight. Great goodness. Clemson has been a story in college baseball. 19-3 matchup at Doug Kingsmore. Careful here. 22nd ranked NC State is on the road at UNC Greensboro. Careful here. 6th ranked Florida is on the road at 17th ranked Florida State. Careful here. 21st ranked Mississippi State on the road at Samford. And that is all in addition to the Gamecocks. Those are the games that really kind of stand out today across the country and in our neck of the woods. If you are planning to put some money down on Thursday night, Arizona is a 7.5-point favorite over Clemson. That's the first game that I'm not a huge fan of how they're starting. We've got a 10-10 tip on Thursday. Why? I mean, we don't need that. All these stations they've got, but whatever. So you got Clemson and Arizona at 7:09 on CBS. The Wildcats 7.5-point favorites. UConn 11.5 over fifth seeded San Diego State 7:39 on TBS and True TV. This is going to be a good one, we think. And the over under is 173.5. Alabama and North Carolina. That's a 9:39 tip on CBS. And there's that 10:09, Illinois and Iowa State on TBS. Iowa State, 1.5-point favorite in that. That is all I've got. I will roll it back over to the very bald gentleman and the gentleman in the visor, Schubert.
173.5 was the over-under on that.
Alabama, North Carolina.
Alabama game?
Mm-hmm. What's that, Phil? That's
Phil taking the under there because UNC plays defense better than they're giving them credit for on that over-under.
That's
80. Alabama likes to kill it, but
what's the score on that? 85-88, right?
Yep, pretty close. Yeah, what's the spread?
The Tar Heels are 3.5-point favorites.
Yeah, so it is about 185, 188.
So 88-85 is what you're saying.
Yeah, 85-88.
It won't be boring.
No, it won't be boring, but.
No,
I think the under hits on that one.
Yeah. Cat Daddy's a Red Sox fan and then a Braves fan. Can't blame you there, Cat Daddy. I did not grow up a Red Sox fan at all, but I've never been a bandwagon guy. Like, I'm a fan of who I'm a fan of, period, the end. Like, I don't just pull somebody who's good. I think that's kind of silly. But I will say this. In 2003, I really loved the team under Grady Little, and of course they had their hearts broken and then proceeded to do it right back to New York the next year. And it was hard to get off the Red Sox train. They had so many personalities, and that was That was one of the most unique, probably the most unique World Series team in our lifetime, or maybe beyond that, with all the personalities. So always had a lot of respect for Boston. Obviously, I know Jackie and Steve, they played there. Smokey loved the same way. So I'm with you. When the Red Sox are on, I watch them.
Pull for them. I don't do Boston sport. I don't do New England sports. What happened when they broke their curse before the Cubs did?
John Edwards says Braves, Orioles, Diamondbacks. I can respect the O's. Justin got me and my wife on the field up there when they played in Baltimore a few years ago. We watched BP and stuff like that. That's neat. Camden Yards is really cool. So respect.
I was a Pittsburgh Pirates fan when I was a kid because we on my T-ball team was the Pirates, and I liked their uniforms. And then we got to the – and I don't pull it for them every now and then. Then we got to the NLCS in 90, when was 90, 91, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I had to pull – you know, Braves, obviously, I pulled for them against the Pirates. I haven't thought twice about the Pirates since. And now I'll pull for the White Sox. And the White Sox could lose 110 games this year.
Good, yeah. Chicago's
– they sold their entire team. I mean, like, they got – they dug La Russa up out of the grave, drug him back in there. He had one good year that he couldn't relate to his players. And so then they fired him, and then they hired a clown. They kept the clown, and they got rid of all their players. And now they want a new stadium. And they want the public to finance it, or they're threatening to move to Nashville. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of like drama with the Sox right now. So
times are tough, man. I tell you what, times are tough.
Now the Cubs may contend this year. They made some moves. They went and hired the manager from the Milwaukee Brewers, who's probably one of the best managers in baseball. So
yeah, I like what they did at manager. I mean, all respect to old Grandpa Rossi there, but you know, just because you're a hero on the field doesn't necessarily make you a good manager.
I tell you, Phil needs to get a little bit excited. Phil, you and the missus got to come up for a trip to Wrigley.
Yeah, man. Oh my God. Always down.
That would actually be a lot of fun. We could get one of the rooftop gigs with all you can eat and drink and watch the Wrigley, the Cubs.
Yes.
Go to some jazz bars. And we need to probably think about doing that. Anyway.
Sweet.
This summer.
Let's do
it. Hey, Chicago's nice in the summer. Don't get me wrong.
Listen, whack the kids somewhere. Maybe you and Carrie come too.
No thanks.
Jamie, you'd probably kill somebody on the subway train coming over.
I hate trains and subways. I'm like, I ain't doing it. We've got trips to Wyoming and Delaware this summer, so our trips are kind of booked. So appreciate it.
The most well traveled states in our great land, Wyoming and Delaware.
I love Wyoming, man.
I know. It seems beautiful.
All right, tomorrow, Stuart Lake, Derek Scott, and Matt Anderson all will be here. I actually have to leave a little early tomorrow. And then on Thursday, Mike Morgan and John Strickland. And then on Friday, nobody. We will be off.
We're off.
On Good Friday.
So praise the Lord.
We'll be off for Friday. Clint, Delaware along the coast, where my wife is actually originally from, is really, really neat. But the rest of the state, it's not much. You don't even really, it's just farms. It's strange, but the coast is quite beautiful. So, all right, we'll leave it at that. Nobody cares about my travels. Thanks to, Hail Yeah McGranahan and Schubert and Mad Dog. And always thanks to all of you. Tell your friends about us. Also tell them to download the Chief Sports app because it's free and we have tons of programming in there. And you can always go back and catch all of our shows afterwards if you happen to miss them. We will see you tomorrow at 11 o'clock right here on Inside the Gamecocks, the show.